Guestwick, this is Guestwick.
Adolphus, my dear fellow. Adolphus.
Bernard, how good to see you.
Just the two, Baxter.
Just the two.
Did you have a pleasant trip?
Very. I dozed almost the entire way. Is it far from here?
No, no. A mere 5 miles, that's all, and you shall be at Allington.
The Small House at Allington by Anthony Trollope. Dramatised for radio by Martin Wade. Starring Alex Jennings as Adolphus Crosby, Julia Ford as Lily Dale, and Jamie Glover as Johnny Eames, with Richard Vernon, Brenda Blethyn, Leslie Sharp, and Jeremy Clyde.
You know, I was fostering an irrational hope that your rural breezes would be cooler, but it's as hot here as it was in town.
I fear so. Adolphus, I hope you won't be terrifically bored here.
Huh?
The country's one thing when it's a 3 week gathering at Courcy Castle or wherever, but...
Bernard, work has been so hectic, I shall be a little glad if I'm a little bored. I'm good and ready for it. I take it this is Allington up ahead?
Correct.
Ah, and is that the house?
That is the house. The great house. Not big enough, you think, to deserve such a title.
Oh, I think it looks a very fine house, and very old, too.
It's early Stuart. It is called Great, to distinguish it from the other house nearby.
The small house?
That's right. You can just see it next to the road, but we pull off here. Come on. You see the little footbridge?
Yes.
Well, that's where the garden of the small house begins.
Ah.
It's all part of the estate.
Who lives in the small house?
My aunt and her two daughters.
Your aunt?
There was a third Dale brother, you understand. The youngest. He died.
And it's his widow who lives in the small house.
That's right. She has it from Uncle rent-free.
Has your uncle ever thought of marrying?
I believe he did once. Thought of it very seriously. But found his plea rejected and never thought to try elsewhere. He's over at Hammersham, by the way, performing his duties as grand juror. You'll meet him at dinner.
You must be a very busy man with all your commitments.
Yes, yes. Busy enough. What is it you do?
I work in the General Committee Office.
The what?
The General Committee Office, Uncle. Whitehall.
I'm a senior clerk.
Nothing to do with the army, then. I assumed you were a colleague of Bernard.
A colleague? No, sir. I count your nephew as a friend.
We met at my club.
Oh, yes, your club. Well, Mr. Crosby, what have you accomplished since you arrived?
Hardly anything, sir. And I've enjoyed it greatly. Talked, walked in the garden.
We saw Belle and Lily. And Crosby was introduced.
Fine girl, Belle.
Which one was the slightly taller?
Prettier, too. Fine girl, Belle. As I've told Bernard 1,000 times.
What do you mean, a mere clerk? You may as well call Bernard a mere officer, or Uncle a mere squire.
Belle, you know exactly what I mean. It isn't much in a man to be in public office, but Mr. Crosby, it strikes me, gives himself airs.
I don't think he gives himself airs. I think that... Look, anyway, you're not implying, surely, that Mr. Crosby is the same as Johnny Eames.
Well, Johnny Eames is a mere clerk. And Mr. Crosby is, I don't know, a mere clerk. He's older than Johnny, that's all. Been longer at it, earns a bit more money, no doubt.
No doubt, Lily. I'm not in Mr. Crosby's confidence.
No.
But from what Bernard has said, I understand that he is pretty nearly the management of the General Committee Office. 6 or 7 young men under him. So one cannot call him a mere clerk.
One could call him a swell.
Well, I wish you wouldn't, Lily. I don't like slang words.
But he is, isn't he? A swell, I mean.
He's a gentleman. And it isn't nice to describe a gentleman as a swell.
Isn't it? Oh, I'd so like to be nice if I knew how. Now, what else is Mr. Crosby, apart from a gentleman?
Nothing more.
Oh, come, Belle. He's an Apollo, that's for certain.
Apollo? Who's talking about Apollo?
Lily, that foolish tongue of yours.
Morning. May we come in?
Of course. Good morning, Vernon. Good morning, Mr. Crosby.
Good morning to you both. Apollo, let me think, as sweet and musical as bright Apollo's lute strung with his hair.
Have we arrived at an inconvenient moment?
No, not really. How are you both?
Fine. I, at least, have never felt better.
Adolphus claims he's not yet tired of the country.
And I have been here almost 24 hours.
Mama is in the garden.
Ah.
She's picking peas with her sunbonnet on.
Well, then,
Let us go and help her.
Or we could play croquet.
Yes, why not?
Croquet? Now, I haven't had a game of croquet yet.
Since you've not been here 24 hours, Mr. Crosby, I might suspect you of being an enthusiast, if you had.
Are you a croquet player, Mr. Crosby?
Oh, I tried to be on one occasion, failed quite abjectly. Oh,
well then, with respect, Mr. Crosby, you perhaps should partner Lily. She is the queen of the croquet ground.
Good shot, Lily.
Thank you, cousin.
Oh, I don't know why you should receive praise for such ruthlessness.
Nor I.
Before I forget, Uncle has invited you all to dinner tonight.
Oh, that's very kind.
Close, Bernard.
You'll ask your mother?
Oh, yes. Your turn, Mr. Crosby. But she won't come. There will be peas to be eaten, you know.
Their mission, Mama.
Their avowed mission.
Was to invite us over to dinner at the Great House.
Oh, very kind of them. Very kind of your uncle.
Will you go to the Great House for dinner, Mama?
I don't think so. After all, there are peas to be eaten, are there not?
Oh, Mama.
I'm sorry, but I was only on the other side of the wall, you know, while you were playing croquet. I was picking peas, as it happens. Anyway, you are right, my dear. I will stay at home and eat these peas, no doubt. But before then, I will get out your best frocks, give them a good ironing, and see that they're just as they should be for this evening.
Oh, dearest Mama.
How long is Mr. Crosby to be amongst us?
Only a few days, I think.
He's on a short sort of leave at present. He has another 2 months, just whenever he likes it.
Ah. Poor Johnny Eames, you know, has only a month, so he's much better off than Johnny.
Oh, yes, indeed. Much better off. Poor Johnny Eames.
It is 2 years now since I came to town from Guestwick. 2 years almost to the week, I think. And what have I managed? Very little of interest either to myself or anyone else. I have worked mainly, played a little. I've been lodged in Mrs. Roper's place in Burton Crescent, north of Russell Square. I have got up each weekday morning and walked with my friend Cradell to the income tax office in Somerset House. I wonder whether a fellow could get into a club.
A club?
Not a swell one, just a regular club. Evenings at Mrs. Roper's, I find, can be uncommon slow.
Oh, you're right, Johnny, they can. Well, I thought you didn't mind the place quite so much since Amelia came home.
Amelia? What's Amelia to me?
Well, a deuced fine girl, so you said, more than once. And told her too, I believe, or something like it.
Yes, that was... But never mind what I told her. In comparison with...
The renowned L.D. of Allingham, yes.
Allington. In comparison with her... Well, there is no comparison. Golden dross. I tell you, Cradell...
Don't mind yourself!
When that girl marries, it'll be all up with me.
What? You'll cut her throat?
No, I shan't do that. But it'll be all up with me just the same.
Well, you could always marry her yourself.
No, Cradell. I couldn't. Not on £90 a year.
Well, she could wait, couldn't she? I'd ask her, and no mistake. If you love a girl, it's no good going on like this.
No. I don't suppose it is.
I am not ungrateful, Belle. But he mustn't think because all the place is his, he can say what he likes.
I imagine, in his way, that Uncle Christopher was being polite.
Polite?
Of course he was. Making a point of regretting Mama's absence when, in fact, he feels far more comfortable on these occasions without her. And she, no doubt, feels far more comfortable staying at home. And no doubt he knows it.
Tut, tut.
He shouldn't dissemble. And he shouldn't be so disagreeable about it, too.
Aha! Adolphus, what are you doing?
Well, since we carelessly left out the equipment...
Oh, Mr. Crosby.
We might have a game. I feel I'm much improved.
Do you think there's enough light?
Oh, there is for Mr. Crosby. He plays independently of the hoops. Gentlemen, we must take our leave of you.
Oh, must you? It is so stupid going to bed.
Yes, but people in the country are rather stupid, you know.
Come, Adolphus, lay down your mallet. We'll go back and smoke a cigar.
Oh, if only Mama had set aside a little smoking room in the house, then we wouldn't have to be stupid at all. Good night, Bernard. Good night, Mr. Crosby.
Yes, good night to you both. And thank you for escorting us home.
Our very real pleasure.
Good night.
Bernard?
Yes, old chap.
You may consider this a little indelicate.
Try me.
With regard to your cousins, or
rather one of them. Don't answer if you'd rather not, but do you have hopes in that direction?
You mean marriage, I take it?
Mm.
Well, Uncle Christopher has hopes, certainly. For me and the elder girl, that is. I don't pretend to be very much in love with her. Not my way, you know. But she's pretty.
Yes, she is.
And she's as good as gold.
Yes, I'm sure. So is Lily, of course.
Yes, indeed. Well, though, compared with Belle, she
has an independent mind and is prepared to speak it.
Precisely. Yes, I suppose the match will come off, barring unexpected obstacles. Are you,
declaring an interest? No, Bernard. Not with regard to Belle.
I think perhaps you're rather too hard on Mr. Crosby.
Oh, she's been going on like that all evening.
I'm not hard on him. We're very good friends.
Good friends, indeed.
Belle, I hope you're not jealous.
I should hope not, too.
Oh, Belle, take no notice of me. I don't care a buttercup about Mr. Crosby.
Nor do I.
Well, in a way, I do care about him. He's such a duck of an Apollo. And I don't think it's fair of him to disturb us all in our quiet little ways and then tell us he'll be flying off. I haven't even had time to count his rays.
When does he go?
The day after tomorrow.
But he says he shall perhaps come again. At the end of August, when he takes his long leave.
Yes. I wonder whether a certain gentleman at Guestwick will like it if he does return.
Lily?
It doesn't matter, Mama. But I have asked you not to mention him, Lily. Not in that way, at least. Yes, you have. So I don't know why I shouldn't mention him. Either in that way or any way. Dr. Crofts is the finest fellow I ever saw, and Mr. Apollo Crosby is nothing to him. Turn and smile on Dr. Crofts. That's what I'd like to see. And I'm sure Mama would like it too.
Lily?
Not that you've ever said anything in that regard, Mama. Well, not in my hearing, at least.
But I think what you've said in that regard, Lily, is more than enough.
Yes, I've finished. I promise. Sweet sister, forgive me.
I forgive you.
You're leaving tomorrow night, then, Mr. Eames?
Yes, by the mail train.
Well, it seems to be a fascinating place, Allington. You couldn't lose a single hour, could you, in hurrying from here?
Amelia, I told you very plainly I was to take my leave in October.
You did, but I hadn't realised you're quite so desperate to get away.
I've been 12 continuous months in London. I'm keen to see my mother, my friends.
Your friends? One friend, and a very good friend too, I think. L.D. are her initials, I believe. Mr. Eames, you've not been fair on me. You should never have said those things.
What things?
You should never have written them either.
Well, perhaps.
When all the time you had a special friend waiting for you down in the country.
Waiting for me?
Oh, yes. Very easy for a man to laugh. I hate such ways. I hate them.
Oh, here you are, Amelia. And Mr. Eames, too. Good evening, Mr. Eames.
Good evening, Mrs. Roper.
There is company next door, Mr. Eames, in the drawing room. Your colleague, Mr. Prudell, and Mrs. Lupex, and Miss Bruce, of course. If you'd care to join them before dinner?
Thank you, Mother, but Mr. Eames and I would prefer to converse in private.
I see. Dinner will be served in 15 minutes, Mr. Eames.
She worries about you, Amelia.
About me? Oh, no. What worries my mother is that word will get back to yours, and that as a result, your mother will decide this isn't a suitable place, and mine will lose a lodger. But Mama needn't fret on that score, need she, Johnny? Since it's all over between us.
All over?
Well, it is, isn't it? Look here, Johnny. I'm not going to make a fool of myself for any man. If it's to be all over between us, then tell me. Say the word, Johnny. That's all you have to do.
Amelia.
It's true, of course, that I have your promise. Have it in writing. But I'd scorn to take advantage. Just say the word. Say that L.D. is more to you than I am. I won't stand in your way. I'll leave the house, go back to the Millers in Manchester, though it is beneath my birth. Well, sir?
Amelia.
Yes?
You know I love you.
What about L.D.?
Heavens! I can't help it if you choose to believe all the nonsense that Cradell puts into your head. I mean, it isn't my fault if you're jealous over a couple of letters of the alphabet.
You really love me?
Of course I love you.
Oh, Johnny, and you'll be true to me. True to me forever.
Oh, yes, that goes without saying. Thanks for coming along.
My pleasure. If you ask me, Johnny, it's a good thing you're leaving us for a spell. You could get yourself entangled with Miss Amelia Roper if you don't watch your step.
No, a fellow has to go through that sort of thing, you know.
Perhaps. But sometimes, if he tries it too often, a fellow never gets out again. Where would you be if she got a promise of marriage from you in writing?
I'd be in breach of promise, I suppose.
Or married, and miserable. Knowing you, Johnny, you'd be true to your word if you'd given it.
I might.
There hasn't been anything like that, has there?
A written promise? Good heavens, no. Oh, this looks good, though, coming from you. You're the one that wants to watch his step.
Me? Oh, you mean with Mrs. Lupex? Well, it's a little bit of nonsense, that's all. Doesn't mean a thing.
I don't suppose it does, Cradell, to you or me. But she said more than once that her husband's the jealous sort. And he drinks, too. That's clear enough. You might not like it if he cut up rough.
No, he won't. He's got no cause. You'd better go, or you'll miss your train.
Yes. I might write.
To me?
To you.
Well, if you write to Amelia, be careful. Oh, my regards to L.D.
I was in Guestwick by 4. Mother was up to welcome me home. We talked. I slept only a little, was up again by 8. Decided before noon that I would go over to Allington, to the small house. Cradell, dear fellow, I don't know what I had in mind. Perhaps I hoped to speak in private with LD. I don't mean asking her to marry me, but telling her of my feelings for her. Which, to be truthful, I've never really managed. Not in so many words. Though she must, I suppose, have some idea. Or perhaps I intended it to be nothing more than a social call. You'll have to make your own judgment. But I was very much on edge. That much I can tell you. Usually I would walk the distance to Allington, but on this occasion I decided to borrow a horse. Wore the spurs you helped me choose in Piccadilly. And, for the first time, the kid gloves that Mother gave me last Christmas. I reached my destination, tethered the horse, took a deep breath, was shown into the drawing room.
John! Oh, it's good to see you. How are you?
Very well, thank you. And you both?
We're fine. Aren't we, Belle?
We thought we might have a visit today. Heard from your mother that you were coming home.
Yes.
I expect you've deserved a rest. Are they working you hard, John?
Oh, yes. But not too hard. How is Lily?
Oh, Lily is exceedingly well, thank you.
Is she... Am I likely to see her?
She's in the garden. She'll be here directly.
She walked over to the great house with Mr. Crosby.
Mr. Crosby?
I tell you, Cradell.
But she'll be coming straight back.
I tell you, my heart turned cold when I heard that name. Mother had mentioned him in the morning, had said how grand and fashionable he was, that he was staying at the great house.
Lily will be delighted to see you, John. It's been some time.
Yes. Yes, it has.
John, you're a dear friend of Lily's, so I'm sure she won't object to my giving you the news. Mr. Crosby, a friend of Bernard's, came down here for a few days in the summer, and then came again for a longer stay. And during this time, he and Lily have become very fond of each other. So much so, John, that they've now decided to become engaged to be married.
Engaged?
We're all very pleased at the match.
Yes, I'm sure.
No one could be nicer than Mr. Crosby. We've often spoken to him about you. He'll be so happy to know you, Johnny.
Oh, he won't want to know much about me.
Well, here's Lily now, coming across the lawn.
Then I'd better go.
John!
Goodbye, Mrs. Dale. Goodbye, Belle. Don't say anything about this to Lily. Please, don't.
Johnny!
I think I almost ran out of the house. Got to my horse and left. You see, I've been defeated, Cradell. And I can't endure facing her. Not yet. I remember very little of the ride back to Guestwick. The horse knew how to make the journey better than I. My thoughts were entirely on my miserable state. Well, you'll say, you never promised yourself any success with LD, and that's true. But now that she's as good as married, Whatever tiny speck of hope that was left is as good as gone. And I feel as dejected as I would have been if I'd had every chance of winning her. Oh, Credell, I'm almost tempted to come straight back to town.
Mama, Adolphus says he would be delighted to call in for tea tomorrow.
Very well, my dear.
We will be delighted too. And who do you think has called in just now?
Well, someone has been here.
Well, whoever it was didn't stay long.
It was Johnny Eames.
Oh. Well, why didn't he wait for me?
We told him you were out.
Does he know?
Yes, Lily. He knows.
I am engaged to be married. Engaged to be married. So damn sudden. And so damned unexpected for a man so well established in bachelorhood. I had vowed, and it seemed almost a sacred oath, that I would not marry unless I had the money. And marrying for money alone was, of course, out of the question. And now, I am engaged. I suppose I might have read the signs. I liked Lily well on my first visit, and it was her charms, nothing else, which encouraged me to visit Allington again, when I might otherwise have gone to Lady Hartletop's or to Montgomery Dobbs' place in Scotland or Courcy Castle. But I never guessed it would come to this. Never foresaw. And when I kissed her, and took her in my arms, and asked her, oh, it was very strange. As if another Crosby were doing these things. She's a fine girl, though. A treasure. And I'm a damned lucky man.
Have a cigar, Adolphus.
Ah, much obliged. What was the amount, if you don't mind me asking?
What amount, old chap?
The annuity.
Oh, 800.
Oh, that's decent enough, Bernard.
Yes, conditional upon my marrying Belle, of course. Belle knows nothing about the plan, by the by, and nor does her mother. As you say, though, it's decent enough. I told the governor I simply couldn't do it for less, and he agreed.
You and your uncle have a good relationship.
Oh, yes. No nonsense about love and duty. He's the owner, I'm the heir, and we make sure we get on.
What about Lily? What will your uncle do for her?
Well, that's more than I can tell you. Why don't you ask him? He's a plain man, likes plain business.
Yes. I suppose you couldn't have a word, could you, Bernard?
No, I don't think I could. Haven't you talked to him at all about money?
No, not as such.
What about when you told him you wanted to marry?
Well, no, I was simply seeking his approval, not inquiring about financial prospects. Well,
I'd ask him as soon as you can. Can't hurt. Can't hurt you, that is. Might not do me much good. Every shilling Lily gets will come out of my pocket sooner or later. But I'm not the sort to care about that, as you know.
I'll say good night then, Mama.
Good night, Belle.
You're not unhappy, are you, Mama?
Unhappy? No, no, truly I'm not. I'm happy for your sister, happy for them both. I am.
Well, then. And, Mama, I'm sure she would not have become fond of any man unless he had given her proper reason.
Yes, I thought the same.
Of course you did. And so the matter has taken its rightful course. You do like Mr. Crosby, don't you, Mama?
I do. Oh, I hope I do. At first I could hardly bring myself to believe that he was good enough for her. But all mothers feel that way, I suppose, when their daughters... Oh, I will like him, Belle. I will learn to like him. For Lily's sake.
Might I ask if there's a problem, Uncle?
No, no, not a problem. It has simply occurred to me that... Particularly since Lily and your friend are engaged, it might be time if it was settled with you and Belle.
Ah, yes. Is there any hurry about it, sir?
Yes, there is. Well, not hurry. I hate hurry in all things. Dispatch. No wish to push you, mind, if you don't like your cousin.
No, but I do like her. I do. Only I have a sort of feeling that this kind of thing grows best by degrees. Well, I share your dislike of being in a hurry.
Well, enough time has been taken, in my view. I would like you to bear in mind, Bernard, that I'm intending to make a great sacrifice of income on your behalf.
I'm sure I'm very grateful.
I'm not disposed to act as parent to both the girls. And besides, Crosby is a man of quite reasonable income. The money I am setting aside is for you and your wife, that is, Belle. Of course, if I knew you had no wish to marry her, then I would find it necessary to alter the arrangement. Perhaps to take account of the younger daughter. Hence, you see, the need for dispatch.
Yes. Yes, I see.
I'm going indoors now.
Yes, I think I'll set things in motion, sir. Propose to Belle at the first available, that is, appropriate opportunity. I've no wish to postpone the matter any longer than necessary.
Nor should you, Bernard, nor should you. If your mind is quite made up.
Oh, bravo, Lily.
Well played. Thank you.
She's been devastating this morning, has she not?
Well, she certainly has.
And Adolphus, you have sharpened your game, you know, since first you trod this lawn.
True enough. You shouldn't be partners, really.
Ah, too late to change that now, I'm afraid. Well, Bernard, it was our aim, as it were, to go out shooting today.
Oh, no, no, you mustn't go yet. An army cannot march in an empty stomach. I'll tell Mama that the two of you are having lunch here.
She is mine. She is in love with me. She calls me only half facetiously. Her Apollo. But she is not really part of the plan. What does that mean, then? Is the plan outmoded? I was not to marry, or if I was to marry, it would have been in different circumstances. Well, I only have myself to blame, if indeed blame is to be attached. And all is not yet lost, regarding the financial side. I've not yet tackled the squire, as I should have done. I was very weak there. But damn it, I couldn't decently ask about Lily's money before I declared my intentions. Once I had declared them, it was surely too late anyway. She has a beautiful face. Well, a pretty face. And a pretty wit, too. And she loves me, she says, and will do so, she says, with all her heart and strength. And I believe she will. But I had a plan. I had a position. I shall have to withdraw my name from the club. Damn! Damn!
Oh! What time did we say we'd meet them?
5:30, Bernard.
What time is it?
It's not 4:15. You're very eager to make the rendezvous.
Well, I don't like to keep the ladies waiting.
And you were, I thought, extraordinarily attentive to the elder sister this morning, in your way. Are you planning to offer her a suggestion?
Well, sooner or later, I suppose, one must bow to the inevitable.
She's a lucky girl.
I hope you'll think so.
She should, Bernard, with 800 a year pinned to her skirt.
Yes.
Your uncle, you know, has still said nothing to me about Lily's fortune.
Lily's fortune? Does she have a fortune?
Nothing of her own, just like her sister. But you know what I mean. Heavens, the squire can hardly expect, as a man of the world, that I would marry his niece without some kind of settlement.
Well, whether Uncle Christopher's a man of the world or not, I don't know, but you are, Crosby. You should have asked him about this settlement, if you thought there was any room for such a question.
Any room? My word, you're a cool fellow. You led me to believe that your uncle...
I told you nothing, not until you were fully engaged to Lily, when I thought that my opinion on the matter could have no influence on your conduct. At that stage, I admit, I indicated that the governor might do something for her. Or at least I didn't rule out the possibility.
And now your opinion's changed?
Yes. Though without sufficient ground, I'm sure.
It'll be hard on me if you're right.
Well, disappointing, perhaps.
I call it hard. Confounded hard.
Call it what you wish, but you can't claim that anyone has ill-used you.
Let's go.
You must forgive us. We're late.
Well, I said you would be. How tiresome to be proved right. You don't look much burdened.
Yeah, the birds are scarce, I'm afraid.
What? Not one partridge?
Not one, Lily.
Good heavens. Well, perhaps, my Apollo, you should have been armed with bow and dart.
Well, we covered 15 miles of ground.
15? You townsfolk. Uncle Christopher would think nothing of 15 miles.
Yes. Uncle Christopher, it's clear, is made of sterner stuff. It should have been an excellent cure for ill humor. To have her standing at the gate to meet me, jibing at me, but gently about the afternoon's net return, fixing her face upon me, dazzling me with those bright, round eyes, resting her hand in mine.
by odds, she is the nicest girl I've ever seen. And yet in my heart, there is a blackness still. And she, poor thing, is the cause. It is none of her fault, or my own doing, in a sense. Though I don't think at all that I have been treated fairly. Everything I have striven for is to go. I must become humdrum and domestic. I must leave my place in Mount Street, live in a small house full of babies. Oh, Lily! She will never know the misery she has brought about. I'll make sure of that. And she will, in herself, compensate for it to some degree, I am sure. For she is a treasure. But she will not compensate enough. Of course, I couldn't desert her. I have made a commitment, and I shall stick by it. Too late to get out now. I shall marry, and there'll be an end to me. But I could at least postpone the wedding, give myself another 2 years of freedom, continue at the club for that time, some comfort there. But I haven't been treated fairly. It isn't right for a man to put forward his niece under false pretenses. And I'll tell the squire as much tonight. Sir, I've been thinking a good deal about my intended marriage.
That's natural enough.
Yes, by George, it is. A man doesn't take a step like this without finding he's got something to think about.
I suppose not. Though I was never in the way of getting married myself.
I'm the luckiest fellow in the world to have found such a girl as your niece.
You're right. She's as good as gold.
She is, yes. And it seems to me, therefore, that something ought to be said regarding support for her. Proper support, to keep her in the manner to which she's accustomed.
She's never been used to expense. Her mother's not a rich woman.
But living here on the estate...
I don't believe it was made her extravagant.
Absolutely not. Nor her sister.
Oh, that goes without saying.
She has the occasional use of one of the ponies here, but I don't suppose for that reason that she'll expect a horse in the park.
I hope not. But, well, the long and short of it is this, sir. Am I to expect any accession of income with my wife?
As I have already mentioned, her mother is not
a... No, I wouldn't take a shilling from her.
Then that settles it.
The port rests with you, Crosby.
Forgive me. Actually, sir, my inquiry related to you, not Mrs. Dale.
Me?
I wish to learn whether you intended to do anything for your niece.
If you are referring to Lillian, and if you mean in the way of giving her a fortune, the answer is I intend to do nothing at all.
Then I suppose we understand each other. At last.
Why could we not have done so at first? I don't know what you mean by the phrase, at last, unless it be to give offence.
Oh, I simply assumed, sir, that you had intended to treat your nieces, both of them, as though they were your daughters.
But you have made a mistake, and you have no good cause, as far as I can see, for doing so. You were under no delusion about my plans, were you, when you proposed to Lillian?
No, sir, I was not.
Good. Then no great harm has been done.
Indeed. You may have misunderstood me, sir. My hopes were never very high, but I thought it right to discover your intentions.
I see. Well, now you know them. I trust that it will make no difference to the girl.
My own dearest John. You know it feels so strange to write these words, and yet you are my dearest, are you not? And I am yours. Let me assure you, my own, that there is no room for jealousy in this breast. I have too much confidence in your honour for that. And too much confidence in my, well, I would say my own charms, except you would call me vain. I shall count the minutes till I get your reply, and shall envy the postman who will have your letter before it will reach me.
I would send my love to your dear mamma, if I only knew her, as I hope I shall do one day. No, no! I would send it to L.D. also.
Send her love to my dearest Lily, God forbid!
To L.D. also, if you would like to tell her how you and I are situated together. Well, then, there you have it, John Eames. You have lost Lily, and you have won Miss Amelia Roper. Unless you take a walk to the reservoir and throw yourself in. What am I to do? I can't reply in kind. This pit I've dug is deep enough as it is. But I can't tell her I don't like her either. Yet I ought to tell her something. Show her at the very least that I can't go along with it all. That whatever I said, whatever I may have written in that stupid note... Oh, why don't I go along with it all? Now I've lost my sweetest Lily, it's impossible for me to be more wretched. Lily. Lily, what dreams I had. Such a life I planned for you and me. I don't care if I'll be in breach of promise. I can't marry Amelia Roper. Can't. She shall have to bring an action against me. And I shall have to lose my job. Be exposed in the newspapers. Go to prison. Oh, help me, Lord.
Good morning.
Good morning, cousin.
Oh, this is fortunate.
I was thinking the same. I am playing postmistress. See, this one's for you, this one for Uncle Christopher, and this for Adolphus. I'll give you all three, if you wouldn't mind.
Oh, by all means. Invitations?
To a small party today week. I hope you can come.
Oh, I'll be there, most certainly. This is in Crosby's honour, I assume.
Well, to tell the truth, Bernard, not entirely. It's for Johnny Eames as much as anyone. He is a good friend of Lily's. A friend of us all.
Oh, indeed.
But I fear Lily's engagement has rather kept him away from the small house. Mama and I hope that the party will do something to restore easy relations.
I understand.
Oh, Bernard, I do hope my sister will be happy.
Well, she seems happy enough at present.
Yes, but I confess I'm very anxious. I don't imagine that we could have acted otherwise, but it's such a vast trust to put in a man when we don't really know him. You know him, of course.
Yes, oh, Lily will be happy enough.
And Adolphus?
Yes, a little short of income at first. Lily will have to eke it out as best she can.
Oh, she won't mind doing that. But if he lets her know that she's reduced him to poverty, she'll be wretched.
Yes. Bell?
Is he extravagant?
No, I shouldn't think so. Bell?
If he makes her unhappy, you know, I shall never forgive you.
Bell, we have always been dear friends, you and I.
Yes, always.
Why should we not be something more than friends?
I don't quite understand.
More than friends, more than cousins. Man and wife. Belle?
You have surprised me.
I hope I haven't pained you. I've been thinking of taking this step for some considerable time, and in the past few days I've tried to give you some indication. The truth is, I can't be like Adolphus. I'm not a lover. But I don't love you any less on that account. I've looked about for a wife, and I've thought that if I gained you, I would be very fortunate.
You are very good to me. Very kind, but... Oh, Bernard, I didn't expect this.
So, will you answer now, or do you need time to consider?
I ought to answer you now, I think.
Oh, no, not if it's to refuse me. You must consider well before you do that. Belle, you ought to know that Uncle wishes this match. He will remove any difficulty about money.
Money is not important.
But as you were suggesting, in regard to Adolphus and your sister, one has to be prudent now in our marriage.
Stop, Bernard. It makes no difference.
Well, I wish to acquaint you with the facts, Belle. And Uncle's approval. Surely would
it be. Would be most welcome, but it cannot influence my decision. I regard you very dearly, very dearly. As a sister regards her brother.
That might be changed.
No, it cannot be changed.
Then you cannot love me.
Not, I think, as you would have me love you. Dear, sweet Bernard, do not think me proud or ungrateful. What you propose is much more than I deserve. But I know my own mind.
May I ask if perhaps any other preference?
There is no other preference.
Uncle will be very much grieved by this.
Well, if that be all, we need not trouble ourselves. He has no right to dispose of our hearts.
I understand the taunt.
There was no taunt, Bernard, or at least none intended.
I need not speak of my own grief. You cannot but know how deep it must be. But as to my uncle, who loves the two of us above any other living beings, your refusal will be a bitter blow. He is a man of few wishes, few desires, and is the more constant in those he has. I fear we shall find him very stern.
Then he will be unjust.
Wait a fortnight.
No.
Wait till Adolphus has gone.
No, no, no. It cannot be. Dearest Bernard, it cannot be.
There's another letter for you today, Johnny.
Oh, thank you, Mother.
What time should we leave this evening?
Whenever you think right, Mother.
So kind of Mrs. Dale to invite us.
Yes.
But then she's a kind lady. It's not bad news, is it, Johnny?
Not sure yet. It's from Joseph Credell.
You will forgive me, dear Johnny, if I dwell but briefly on your tidings, uncommon sad as they are. But something terrible has happened in Burton Crescent. Something not unconnected, I fear, with the conversation we had just before you left. The affair began yesterday evening, after dinner. I was in the front drawing room. Mrs. Lupex was there, but we were not alone, for dear old Miss Spruce was present too. So there can be no question of anything happening that shouldn't. Not that it ever would. Anyway, as I say, Mrs. Lupex was there, and we were conversing.
Oh, I declare, Mr. Credell, you do say such queer things.
Queer things? I say what's in my mind, that's all.
Miss Spruce, don't you think he says queer things?
Oh, as for me, I'm only an old woman.
But an unmarried man like Mr. Credell has no business to know whether a married lady is wearing a wig.
Would Lupex like you to wear a wig?
Lupex? He wouldn't know any difference if I wore a plumed helmet on my head, or if I had no head at all. That's what comes of getting married.
Johnny, believe me, I have intended nothing wrong. Not a word was ever spoken to Mrs. Lupex, either on that occasion or any other outside of the drawing room. And within the drawing room there had always been a third party present.
Have you ever contemplated marriage, Miss Bruce?
Oh, as for me, I...
Sarah! Sarah!
Yes, Jemima?
Mrs. Lupex.
What's happened, girl?
Your husband, Mrs. Lupex.
He's home, is he?
Yes, Mrs. Lupex.
He's drunk, is he?
Yes, Mrs. Lupex. He's downstairs, and he says he wants to see Mr. Credell.
Oh.
Well, if there's to be blood spilt, I'm leaving the house.
What should I do?
Oh, I'm only an old woman.
You should go down to him, Mr. Credell.
Really?
You little know, Mr. Credell, of what that man is capable when his wrath has been inflamed by wine. Go down to him, unless you wish to see me murdered at your feet.
Well, Johnny, I went downstairs. Is he in the parlour?
Yes, sir. Take care of yourself, Mr. Credell.
Oh, don't you worry, I will.
Oh, second question. That's in my right. Oh, revenge, blood.
Shall I tell him, sir?
Well, tell him the truth, Jemima. Tell him I'm not at home.
Yes, Mr. Credell.
I found Fisher at the chess club. Spent the night on his sofa. Oh, it's all very awkward. Can't cut and run from Mrs. Roper's because of last quarter's rent. Oh, Johnny, what torments we suffer, you and I, at the hands of the fairer sex.
Mrs. Eames, John, how good to see you both.
I hope we're not too early.
You are just a little early.
But of all our visitors, we would have you with us the longest. How are you, Johnny?
I'm fine, Belle. Fine.
I thought if we're here early, it won't matter. We shan't be in the way.
No, indeed.
Well, Lily.
Yes, John. Do sit down, Mrs. Eames, and we shall bring you some tea.
I must shake your hand, Lily. And wish you all the best.
Thank you very much.
And I very much hope that you and... I'm sorry.
I trust, dearest John, that I shall see much of you when I move to London.
Yes, Lily.
It will be so nice to have an old Guestwick friend near me.
Yes.
I don't at all know yet when we are to be married. Not this year, I suppose.
In the spring, perhaps.
Yes. But whenever it is, we should be so very glad if you could be present on the day. Will you not oblige me?
I would do anything to oblige you, Lily. But not that. I couldn't do that.
I'm surprised at you, Bernard. I'd imagined you would have been down to the small house earlier to help with the preparations.
Oh, no, no. You forget, my dear fellow, that I'm not in love as you are.
Oh, forgive me. I thought you were.
No, in comparison with you, Adolphus, I'm just a half-sort of lover, meditating a marriage of convenience to oblige an uncle. The terms of the agreement don't require me to undergo a very rigid amount of drill, so I thought I'd entrust the task of whipping the creams and tuning the piano to you.
Ah, right.
Ah, here's Lillian. Look, I'll leave you. Good evening, Lily.
And to you, Bernard. And to you also, Mr. Crosby.
Lily, my dearest, you look a picture of perfection.
Oh, thank you, sir. Now, one kiss. And then you must be very good and listen.
Speak.
Now, we have only four young gentlemen, yourself included, and one ungrown, so you must work hard at your dancing tonight.
I shall do that, Lily. At the close of the last waltz, I shall have to be borne off exhausted.
In between dances, you must be introduced to Johnny Eames, and be nice to him.
Johnny Eames, is he the ungrown one?
He is not. I meant the vicar's son. Now, you must also talk to James Crofts.
Ah, Crofts, yes, the village quack.
No, Adolphus. He is the doctor for Guestwick and the surrounding parts. Also, he is assistant surgeon at Guestwick Hospital.
Oh.
Also, he is a dear friend of the family. So you must be nice to him, too.
I will, I promise. And may I be nice to Miss Lillian Dale?
You may. You must. We knew you would be glad to hear of her happiness.
I am. Very glad, Belle. You all like him?
We do. Have you met him yet?
Mm-hmm. Just briefly. I understand he's quite well off. He's a fortunate man.
We think so, Dr. Crofts. Not, however, because he has money.
No, indeed. But because being worthy of such happiness, his circumstances should enable him to marry and to enjoy it, yes?
Well...
In my view, a man has no right to make a woman undergo poverty. He might endure it himself, but it makes a hell on earth for a woman.
Perhaps, Dr. Crofts, for some women. I'm not that much interested in money myself.
Well then, Belle, I fear you are something of a radical. I should like more money than I have, particularly so that I might share it with one I loved. I should think it wrong to ask for a lady's hand on an income such as mine.
Some ladies, of course, have incomes of their own.
They do, yes. But I think I might feel uncomfortable in marrying a girl with money. Anyway, that's altogether out of the question.
Is it?
Yes. Altogether. Well, I suppose one can be as happy, single, as married.
I'm sure one can. Perhaps more so.
Ladies and gentlemen, I have been asked to inform you that the next dance is a waltz.
Adolphus.
Well, Lily, I performed my labours, and this, I believe, is a dance with you. When duty turns to pleasure.
Well, it should be your dance, dearest Adolphus, but Johnny Eames has asked me. And he does look so very miserable.
I yield. I yield this one.
Thank you. Did you talk with him?
Oh, yes, I talked. He hardly at all. He's not an ardent conversationalist. Off you go. Alone with Lily, it is different. She is my treasure, then. And she is mine, and I am glad of it. But here, tonight, I feel like a catch. I am a catch. Victim for the sacrifice. And it's a sacrifice which seems, as Lily presents it to family and friends, to be not that far off. And of course, each time that the topic of marriage is raised in conversation, it does, somehow, become more real, more substantial, which I fear I find distressing. Not that I have the slightest intention of breaking from the engagement. I must give up everything, thanks to the despicable conduct of her uncle. But I am prepared to do that. I am not a selfish man.
Don't you like the moon?
Oh, I fancy I like the sun better. I don't quite believe in moonlight. It's best for talking about when one wants to be sentimental.
That's what I fear. That the daylight will come, and I will have to learn that romance will fade like the roses do. Or that prose is more serviceable than poetry. That the mind is safer than the heart. That money is better than love. Daylight will come. But I do like the moon.
And the poetry? And the love?
Yes. The love. More than the poetry. To be loved by you is better than all the poetry I've read, sweeter than any of my dreams.
Dearest Lily.
It is the meaning of the moonlight and the essence of the poetry. I never knew before why I liked such things, but I know now. It's because I longed to be loved.
And to love.
Oh, yes. I would be nothing without that. But Adolphus, this mustn't be the end of our romance. You must like the soft twilight and the long evenings when we shall be alone. And you must tell me that the world isn't hard and dry and cruel, I'm always telling Belle it is, but you mustn't tell me.
It won't be dry and cruel if I can prevent it.
You can prevent it, my dearest. All you must do is...
be good to you.
Oh, I know you will be good to me. Always. You cannot think surely that I would ever doubt you or distrust you. Now, what I meant was... you must never be ashamed to look at the moonlight, to read poetry...
to talk nonsense.
Such as I am talking now, I think.
If it is nonsense, Lily, it's what I want to hear. More than anything else in the world.
Oh, my love. My love.
...33 Burton Crescent. My dear Johnny, I expect that time is something you have in good supply, stuck out in the country as you are, and with LD otherwise engaged, but thank you for taking some of it to write to Fisher. He showed me the letter before he went off with it to see Lupex. Just the job, I thought. Hardly recognise myself in your splendid testimonial. But what effect it had on Lupex, I can't be certain, for though Fisher read the letter out to him, the wretched Lupex would say nothing save a few ungenerous remarks about his wife. What to do? Was it safe now to leave Fisher's lodgings and return to Burton Crescent? I decided to take my courage in both hands.
Mr. Credell!
Mr. Lupex?
Mr. Credell, your hand. There has been a misunderstanding. Let it be forgotten.
Mr.
Credell, if I know him, is too much a gentleman to bear any anger when another gentleman has offered him his hand.
Oh, I'm sure, yes, indeed.
Oh.
Bravo!
Yes, yes, well done.
You are not a married man, Mr. Credell, and therefore you cannot comprehend the workings of a husband's heart. There have been moments, I tell you, when my regard for that woman has been too much for me.
Now, Lupin.
And so it was on that Thursday night.
Friday.
Friday.
Anyway, I'm glad it's all put right now.
Likewise.
I have something to tell you, Lily.
Well, I hope it isn't a flippant remark about my bonnet. For if it is, it can wait till after church.
No, Lily, I said all I had to say about your bonnet last week.
More than you should have said.
Yes, I fear so.
Well, my dearest?
Well, Lily, I'm leaving.
Leaving? When?
On Wednesday.
Oh, Adolphus.
I had to leave sometime.
Of course.
Indeed, I have stayed as long as I possibly could. You see, Lady de Courcy has invited me to go over to Courcy Castle, and I thought, well, it wouldn't do for me to drop everybody.
Oh, no, Adolphus. I don't begrudge your going, but it does seem so sudden.
I've been here 6 weeks and more, you see.
Yes, you've been very good. Wednesday. Oh, there are only 3 days more, then.
Yes, just 3 days. There's something else I have to tell you, I'm afraid. In connection with... business. Oh, perhaps I'd better tell you everything.
I would prefer that. Tell me everything.
It's money that's the problem, in part. But when I talk about money, you mustn't suppose it has anything to do with my love for you.
Oh, I wish for your sake that I wasn't such a pauper.
But whether you were rich or poor, my angel, I would love you just the same.
Adolphus, dearest.
Well, then... you know how anxious I've been that our marriage shouldn't be delayed. It is all I desire to call you my own as soon as possible. And yet, unfortunately, I'm not finding things quite so easy as I'd expected.
You mean that you do not think you can afford to marry at once?
Yes, that is it. I had thought, I had hoped that I would. The situation, dearest Lily, is this. You see, well, perhaps I won't go into all the details. Suffice to say that we must wait.
Well, I told you we should, did I not?
You did, Lily, you did.
A delay will not make me unhappy.
Will it not? As regards myself, I confess I cannot bear the delay with indifference.
No, my love, don't misunderstand me. I have only one wish in the world, and that is to be your wife, and to be able to share everything with you. The sooner we can be together, the better. But till then, I will not be unhappy. How can I be when I feel certain of your love? Anyway, we have 3 days left, and I mean to enjoy them. And after that, you will write to me.
I will write to you and you to me.
Oh, yes.
And I will come at Christmas.
You will?
If you'll have me.
Oh, Adolphus. And next year, when you have your holiday, you will come down to us again, will you not?
You may be quite sure of that.
And so the time will go by until you think we can be married. And I shall not be unhappy. You may be sure of that. Indeed, I shall be the happiest creature on this earth. Believe me, I can endure any trouble, Adolphus. I can endure any cares, however great, as long as I am certain of your love.
Days remain, and then I must leave Allington. Well, no, not quite must. It was not obligatory to accept Lady de Courcy's invitation, though in truth she doesn't like to be refused. I chose to leave. Oh, Lily, of course, is the dearest of creatures, but I have already been at Allington some 6 weeks, and 6 weeks seems long enough, despite Lily. And anyway, it will be most pleasant to see the de Courcys again. Or most of them, before I return to London. Particularly pleasant, I think, to renew my friendship with Lady Alexandrina. 2 days remain.
Not long, Adolphus.
Tuesday, Lily and I will spend quietly, it being our last day together. But tomorrow we thought we might be sociable, for the most part, and ride into Guestwick, along with Belle. Care to make up a foursome?
Oh, why not?
In the morning, Bernard, we could go to the manor, see Lord De Guest and Lady Julia.
Ah, well, that we can't. See Uncle Theodore, I mean. The Earl's almost perpetually occupied with his cattle during daylight hours.
But your aunt?
Oh, yes. She'll be at home.
Ah, good afternoon, Bernard. Miss Bell.
Lily.
Good afternoon, Lady Julia.
Aunt Julia, this is Mr. Adolphus Crosby.
I'm delighted to make your acquaintance, Lady Julia.
Mr. Crosby is a friend of mine who in due course is to become a relative by virtue of marrying Lillian.
Yes, I'd heard of the engagement. My congratulations to the two of you. And I trust, and that is, I hope, that your mutual happiness will be long-lasting.
I hope so too, Lady Julia. I shall try to make it so at least.
We all try, my dear, but many of us fail to try with sufficient energy of purpose.
Oh, by the way, Lady Julia, I think I know some very dear friends of yours.
Really? I don't think I have many very dear friends.
I'm referring to the Gazebys, Mortimer and Lady Emily. I have often heard Lady Emily speak of you.
Ah, yes, the Gazebys. I shall be seeing them next week.
At Courcy Castle, you mean?
Yes.
Ah, well, then I shall have the pleasure of renewing our acquaintance.
Indeed.
Mr. Crosby is leaving for Courcy Castle on Wednesday.
I'm surprised. I would have thought, Mr. Crosby, that having so recently become engaged, you might have opted to stay with your dear fiancé.
Well, I...
But of course, I am a woman of outmoded notions, as you are becoming all too aware.
I think she's horrid, if you'll excuse me for saying so, Bernard.
Well, I'm not fond of her, I confess, even though she is my aunt. But I deny that she's horrid. She's never murdered anyone, or robbed anyone, or stolen away another woman's love.
I should hope not.
No doubt she says her prayers earnestly, gives money to the needy, sacrifices her own wishes to those of Uncle Theodore.
No doubt. Believe me, Bernard, I find her perfectly charming, and I shall be especially civil to her at Courcy Castle.
Well, we shall find more congenial company, I think, under Mrs. Eames's roof.
Are you certain of that?
I am. Mrs. Eames at least won't tell us to do our duty or to beware of being too beautiful.
She'll not stay very long there, I trust.
Mrs. Eames and Johnny are friends of the family, so you mustn't be in a hurry, Adolphus.
You had your turn with Lady Julia, and we must have ours.
Dear Credell, I'm glad things seem to have quietened down at Burton Crescent. I expect Mrs. Roper is too. I have little to report on from Guestwick except my general discontent. We had a visit today from my dearest LD and her sister, and Bernard, their cousin. And a fourth. Oh, Credell, it hurts me to see her so happy in love. It hurts especially because the man who was the cause of her bliss is so unworthy of her.
John, of course, you have already met.
Yes, we talked, did we not, of this and that. Pleased to see you again, John. You're a tax man, as I recall.
Yes.
Look favourably upon my papers, should they ever cross your desk. And who, I wonder, gathers tax from the tax gatherers? You must enlighten me sometime.
I'll be blunt about him, Credell. He's a snob, a swell, and I hate the man. And I tell you what, if there was any way of doing it, I'd fight him.
Some wine, Mr. Crosby?
Oh, thank you, no. I never do take wine in the middle of the day.
But you will have a portion of the cake.
Cake? No, I don't think so. Never take cake either.
Oh. Captain Dale?
No, thank you.
I would love some of your cake, Mrs. Eames.
And so would I.
We know your cakes, and we know what we'd be missing.
She'll never be happy with him. I'm sure she won't. Of course, it might upset her if I ever did fight him, and I wouldn't want that at all. But I'm afraid I'd like to fight him anyway.
Goodbye then, Mrs. Eames. Johnny, goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye, and thank you.
You'll visit us again before too long. Both of you? I hope we will. And you'll come over, John, won't you, before you go back to London?
Yes. Yes, I will. Let me help you up, Lily.
That's my job, if you don't mind.
Send my warmest regards to your mother, Lily. I will.
Goodbye, Mrs. Eames.
Goodbye, Mr. Crosby.
John. Goodbye, goodbye, goodbye. I thought we should never be away.
You must not snub my friends, sir.
Snub them? I never snub anybody. Unless, that is, they have absolutely deserved snubbing.
I see. Have I deserved it? Because I seem to have got it.
Nonsense, Lily. I have never snubbed you yet, and I don't think it likely that I shall begin. I'm not uncivil to your friends. I am simply as civil as my nature allows me to be. And anyway...
Yes?
I'm not sure you're very wise at the present to encourage that man's friendship.
Oh, that means I'm very wrong to do so.
No, dearest. If I meant that, I would tell you. My point is simply that from what I have seen and heard, he undoubtedly fancies that he has a romantic attachment to you. He's probably the sort of young man to talk of his fancies, too.
I don't believe for a moment that he would mention my name to anyone.
Well, perhaps I know more about young men than you do.
Yes, I'm sure.
And you must not be surprised if I object to a fellow making free with your name.
No, of course not. But Adolphus...
Yes, my dearest.
You would not wish me to be unkind to so very old a friend as John Eames.
Far from it.
Johnny Eames is nothing to me. Nothing. How can anyone be anything to me when I think of you? My dearest, there is such little time before you leave. Let us not spend it talking of things that are unpleasant.
Well, there was no need to wait for them, I suppose.
I think not. They'll be happy enough on their own.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Belle?
Yes, Bernard?
Am I to have any hope?
Bernard.
Well, I don't think a fella can take no for an answer on a matter such as marriage. Not at the first time of asking, at least.
But I gave you my answer with all honesty and truth.
Oh, no doubt. But, Belle, why should it be so? I could understand it if you were in love with someone else.
I am not in love with someone else.
Exactly. And there are so many reasons why you and I should join our fortunes together.
It cannot be a question of fortune,
Bernard.
Do
listen to me. Do let me speak, at any rate. I can assume, can I, that you don't dislike me?
Of course I don't. Far from it.
And though you might not accept any man's hand merely on a question of money, you wouldn't, I assume, reject mine for the same reason, particularly if you were opposing the wishes of those nearest to you.
Do you love me?
Oh, yes, I do.
It is not an argument you have over-employed, your love for me.
I assumed it went without saying. Perhaps...
Yes?
Or perhaps I love you more than I thought I did. I will not give you up, Belle.
Oh, Bernard, don't say that.
I will say it. And if you say there is no hope, I will not believe you, Belle. My heart is set on this.
Well, I have lost Lily. And to a creature I wouldn't wish on any woman, least of all, I have lost her. And who am I to win on my return to London? Miss Amelia Roper. At least I will do, unless I can take effective action. I must write to her. Or if I can't do that, I'll write to her mother. I'll tell her I shall not be coming back to Burton Crescent. Lodgings no longer suit my personal circumstances, and I'd be very much obliged if she could send on my clothes in a bundle to my place of work. Deuced cowardly, that. I'll write to Amelia. I'll have the letter ready for the post this evening. A short note. Very short. But putting the whole sorry business straight, in a pleasant enough way, though. So that she and I can remain on amicable terms. Were we ever on amicable terms? Dear Amelia. My dearest Amelia. My dear Amelia. Dear Amelia, I did not write earlier for fear of giving you pain, but I am bound in honour to tell you the truth and to correct any misapprehension you may be under. Yes, good. And the truth is this, dear Amelia. My heart is not at your disposal. I will walk you back to the house.
There is no need.
Lily, my dearest Lily, I'm sorry if you think I have been unreasonable or unjust.
I never said that.
Ungenerous, perhaps.
Well, no, no.
You must understand, my Lily. I will be honest with you.
I trust you will always be that.
I suppose I feel simply that there must be quid pro quo, that in return for, oh, how shall I put it, sacrifices that I have made or have committed myself to making, some accommodation might be forthcoming from you.
Sacrifices, Adolphus? You mean financial sacrifices?
Yes, financial sacrifices. Dearest Lily, you are everything to me. You have quite bowled me over, captivated me. And some people, Lily, might think me a fool to be marrying you, for it is love, and love alone, that has impelled me.
Some people, dearest Adolphus, might have called you a fool if you had married for any other motive.
Oh, indeed. But there are, you see, realities to be faced. I shall begin to face them, I fear, as soon as I return to London. My life till now has been expensive. That's been my way, you know, living up to every shilling, contracting habits of expenditure which it will be difficult, nay, impossible, to lay aside at a day's notice. You see, Lily, I was not prepared for this, for marriage.
Nor could you have been.
Of course. Nor would it have been right for me to go ahead with this important step without advising you of the difficulty.
Dearest Adolphus, trust me. I shall be happy with little. I will be prudent, economical.
No, no, no. A cheap and nasty menage I could not bear, Lily. For your sake, more than mine.
Then I will wait, and patiently, too. 7 years, if needs must.
No, that's nonsense. 2, perhaps. And that's a deuce of a bore.
Yes.
Lily, are you angry with me?
No, Adolphus, I'm not angry. How could I be?
Young man.
What?
If you want to catch rheumatism, young man, that's the way to do it.
Oh, Lord De Guest.
Oh, well, it's young Eames, isn't it?
Yes, my lord.
I knew your father, and a very good man he was. Much cleverer than me. Tell me, Eames, what were you doing sleeping here?
I didn't mean to. Sat down to think about something.
Ah. Not in any trouble, are you?
Trouble? No, my lord. Not particularly.
Young men do tend to find themselves in trouble when they get up to London. So if you want any advice on that sort of thing, come to me.
Oh, Lily. Do you remember the last time we were here?
Yes. Adolphus.
In the summer, I was endeavouring to pitch hay into a cart.
Yes.
But of course I was less than accomplished, not least, my dearest, because you were standing by me.
Adolphus. I have something to say to you, and you must listen very carefully.
Yes, Lily?
My dearest, if you wish that all this between us should be over, I will consent.
Lily?
I mean it. And I shall not blame you if you take me at my word.
Are you tired of me?
No, I shall never be tired of you. But I would not be the cause of your ruin.
I have said nothing of being ruined.
Listen, it would not be the end if you left me. I could never, it's true, love anyone as I have loved you. But I have a God and a Saviour, and I can turn to them. Indeed, last night, Adolphus, I will not cling to you. I will not pull you down under the water, drown you in trouble and care. Of course, if you leave me, I will never... All that kind of thing will be over for me. But the world has more than that. Much more. I will make myself happy, I know it.
But Lily, what's happened? Why are you saying all this?
Because it is my duty to say it. I never understood till yesterday. You thought when you proposed to me...
Lily.
You thought I had some fortune. Perhaps I should have told you earlier that it was not so. Anyway, the mistake occurred, and we both have suffered. But we need not deepen the suffering. I can bear to leave you, but I could not endure being the source of your unhappiness. My love, you're free from this moment. Speak to me, Adolphus. Say the word I urge you to.
Lily, are you still in love with me?
You should not need to ask.
Until you tell me that your feelings have changed, I will agree to no parting. Whatever our sufferings, we are indissolubly bound together.
Are we?
I claim the right to tell you my troubles. But I will not let you go.
But Adolphus...
Adolphus has nothing more to say on the subject. He has been misunderstood a little, that's all.
You are certain?
I couldn't be more so.
Oh, my love. My lord. My heart's own darling, always and forever. Wherever you go, Adolphus, my thoughts, at least, shall be like Ruth and shall never cease from following you. Like Ruth, I declare that where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy God shall be my God. Where thou diest, there will I die, and there will I be buried.
Oh, my own.
Yes, your own. Your own to take when you please. Your wife. Your servant. Oh, I would that you and I were already alone together, that I might do everything for you. I want to be of use to you, to work for you, to make things for you.
Set of shirts, perhaps, if times get hard?
Yes.
It may come to that, yes.
I pray God that it may. I pray God that it may.
Dear Amelia, I know you will think this very unfeeling, but it is for the best. If we married, we should be unhappy because we should have nothing to live on. If I have ever said anything to deceive you, Amelia, I beg your pardon with all my heart. Oh, well. Believe me to be your most sincere friend, and I may say, admirer, John Eames.
I will never. never distrust you, Adolphus.
I will never give you cause.
I'll never again ask you to give me up or say that I could be happy without you. I can't be happy without you. I must always know that you're mine.
Oh, Lily.
When you're ready, Archer.
I'm ready. Well then, Lily.
Yes.
All set?
All set. Goodbye, Lily.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
I love her. She is a fine, fine girl. I love her. But the rest of it, I confess, I shall find hard to like. Babies, bills, humdrum, dull evenings around a dull fire, disappointment, Lily's, that is, with regard to my efforts as a husband, I shall not be disappointed. I see the future too clearly for that. No more trips to Courcy Castle, no more being among countesses and their daughters. I think I did wrong. I should have seized upon the chance that Lily gave me, taken her at her word, escaped. But I didn't have the heart. I was too kind to the girl. So, well, what of it? There must be more to life than country house gatherings. Why should the fire be dull, the evening dull, if I strive to make it otherwise? I shan't tell anyone at the castle of my engagement. The time will pass more pleasurably there if it's kept a secret, particularly from my dear friend, Lady Alexandrina. And there is, in all conscience, little enough opportunity left to me for pleasure of that sort. Ow! But I was forgetting. Lady Julia will be at Courcy Castle, so the engagement will be known soon enough. Damn! I wish the Dales hadn't sent out the good news with such haste. I suppose it was to tie me down all the faster.
Mr. Crosby, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. You look in excellent health yourself, your ladyship. Good evening, Lord de Courcy.
Oh, yes, good evening. I'm not very well.
Did you have a good journey?
Quite tolerable.
Of course, you have not come far. I gather you've been staying with the De Guests.
Ah, no, not the De Guests. A near neighbour of theirs and a relative, Christopher Dale, at Allington.
Who is this?
Mr. Adolphus Crosby.
Oh.
And how long were you there, Mr. Crosby, at Ellington?
6 weeks.
6 weeks? You must have felt yourself to be growing roots.
Absolutely.
Was the house full all that time?
No, no. There was just Squire Dale and his nephew, Bernard. Bernard is a friend of mine.
A very close friend to keep you at Ellington so long.
Well, there were the Partridges, too.
Nothing else?
Oh, indeed. There was a widow lady on the same grounds, and her two very nice daughters.
Ah, yes. That makes such a difference, doesn't it?
Your family are all thriving?
Yes, I should think so.
I, of course, have gout.
The Earl has gout.
How is the Lady Alexandrina?
She is very well. At dinner, you are to sit next to her, if that is agreeable.
After here, back to town, I suppose, and the managing the affairs of the nation.
Oh, I fear so. Life must become serious again, despite the occasional party.
Yes. I recall the last occasion on which we met.
At your dear sister Emily's house, you and I had some slight words.
We did, yes.
Though marriage will require me for the most part to give up acquaintances such as the De Courcys, I think it would be very advantageous if I could maintain some sort of friendship with Lady Alexandrina. Lily is a treasure, a dear little thing. But if she got to know Alexandrina, there would be so much she could learn from her in regard to deportment, speech. Dear as Lily is, she lacks style. And Alexandrina has style in abundance, yes, indeed. And beauty. She is a most handsome and fine woman altogether. And she must remain my friend.
Mr. Crosby?
Yes.
You've told me nothing yet about Miss Lillian Dale.
Miss Lillian Dale?
Yes. She's a resident of Allington, I believe, and one who is known to you. But you've neglected to mention her. Is she very pretty?
Oh, undoubtedly.
And is she attractive and clever and all that is delightful? Is she perfect?
Oh, she is very attractive, but I don't think she is perfect.
What are her faults?
Oh, come now, that's hardly fair. Suppose I were asked what were your faults, do you think I would answer?
I'm sure you would, and with a long list. But as to Miss Dale, you ought to think her perfect, you know. If a gentleman were engaged to me, I should expect him to swear that I was the very pink of perfection.
But if the gentleman were not engaged to you?
That would be different.
Well, I am not engaged to you. Such happiness and such honour are, I fear, very far beyond my reach. But I'm sure I would testify to your perfection anywhere.
And if you did, what would Lillian Dale say?
I can't imagine. But I am at liberty to express my opinion, surely.
Oh, you are? How many more months are you to enjoy, then, before you're enslaved?
Lady Alexandrina, you are a friend of mine. There were times past when I was almost rash enough to hope that you were more than that. But you are, at least, a friend.
Oh, yes. Certainly.
For friendship's sake, then, I would beg from you a great favour.
Yes?
I don't know what it is that you have heard concerning Miss Lillian Dale, but would you be good enough not to connect my name with hers while I am here?
Has there been a quarrel?
No. No quarrel. I can say no more at the present moment. Not, that is, without regret. But I promise that to you, at least, I will explain it all before I leave.
Strange to me still that Lily, of all girls, should have been fancied by someone like Mr. Crosby, or that she should have liked him. I can't imagine her living in London.
She will be happy wherever she is, Mama, as long as he is good to her and affectionate.
Yes, well, I hope so. Her happiness and yours are all I have to live for.
You don't regret it, do you? You don't distrust Adolphus?
No. No, if I did, I shouldn't have given so ready an assent, but...
The truth is, Mama, you don't like him.
Not so cordially as I would have wished. I pray that I like your husband better. Oh, Belle, it's your uncle.
Good day, dear. Good day, Uncle.
What? A fire already? I don't have fires in the morning, not till the 1st of November. But I do like to see a spark in the grate after dinner.
I like a fire when I'm cold.
Yes. Belle, my dear, I want to speak to your mother on a matter of business.
Oh, of course. Of course.
Just for a minute or two.
Do take a seat.
Thank you.
This one here, perhaps. You wouldn't wish to be too close to the fire?
No. Yeah. I wish to speak to you about Belle.
About Belle?
Yes. As I have no children of my own, Mrs. Dale, those of my two brothers are everything to me.
Well, Bernard is your heir. If he made a good marriage, I know it would be a comfort to you.
Yes, that's just it. And if he and Belle could make a marriage together, it would be a comfort to you too.
Bernard and Belle?
That's right. Belle hasn't spoken to you on the matter.
Not a word.
And you've never thought about it?
Never.
I have. A great deal.
I expect they're talking about your marriage.
Yes, perhaps. Mama doesn't care for Adolphus, does she?
Not as you do, Lily.
Not as I do. Of course she doesn't. But the truth is she doesn't care for him at all.
She has never spoken against him.
She has never spoken in his favour. She would never speak of him at all unless you or I mentioned his name. Oh, Belle... Do you think I will make Adolphus happy?
Yes, I do.
Happier than he'd be with anyone else that he might meet. I dare not believe that. You know, I could give him up tomorrow if there was another that would suit him better.
Lily!
It's true. Oh, I wish you were going to be married as well.
Thank you kindly. Perhaps I shall be someday.
You must understand, I don't blame her for refusing him. I'm not angry with her.
I should hope not. You can hardly be angry with her for not being in love.
Yes, I'm not angry. But I think she might give the matter some consideration. You would like such a match, would you not?
Well, I've always liked Bernard. And I believe Belle would be safe with him. But
My views are not important. The decision is entirely hers.
Of course. I appreciate that young ladies are not to be compelled these days, though I do wonder whether they fare any better with their freedom of choice. But surely a word to her from you?
No.
If she were persuaded that it was her duty to give the proposal consideration before it was absolutely refused, well, then, she might soon learn to love him.
That lesson must be learned without a tutor, Mr. Dale, if it can be learned at all.
You won't do anything to help me, then?
I won't do anything to hinder you.
I have set my heart upon this marriage. They are both very dear to me, Belle and Bernard. If I could see them man and wife, I shouldn't much care how soon I left the old place to them.
It's good of you to think of my daughter in this way. Very good. I will, at the least, speak to her of your kindness and love.
Dearest Lily, dearest. Lower down, he writes, my very own dearest. Oh, my very own dearest, sweetest Adolphus. Dearest Lily, this is the first time I have ever written to you. He doesn't count, of course, the little notes on which my darling sent his compliments when he was at the great house. I was so happy at Allington, but I'm hardly myself among these people. There are a mere one or two I would call companions. Nevertheless, I am not so laid low that I cannot tell you how truly I love you, or how I long...
Lily?
Johnny Eames. John, how do you do?
There was no one in the house.
Oh, I am sorry. Mama and Belle are somewhere in the other grounds.
It's you I want to see, and you did ask me to come over.
Yes.
I'm afraid I still haven't managed to congratulate you properly, but I do so now. Congratulations.
Thank you, John.
What I mean is, I hope you will always be happy in your marriage. But, Lily, I have something else to say.
Yes?
Lily, I love you.
Please don't talk of that now.
I've always loved you. Loved you as well as that man does.
You must not speak of Mr. Crosby in that way.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to be disrespectful. You like him, do you not, better than anybody else?
I love him better than all the world.
That's how I love you. I know how poor I am. You couldn't accept such a one as me, but I had to tell you. I know I've been a fool. I'm a fool now to say these things. I can't help it, though.
Oh, Johnny.
Anyway, I've said what I came to say.
You'll find some girl, Johnny. Some girl you really love.
And do I not love you? Really love you?
Johnny.
Well, never mind. Goodbye, Lily. I did badly there. Very badly. I wish, though, she hadn't said what she said about loving Crosby. I suppose she really does feel that she loves him better than all the world. But she needn't have said it. How can she love him anyway? A vile man. He'll bring her nothing but misery. She chooses to scorn me now, but the time may come.
Hey, steady, steady! Back, old fellow! Back! Back!
Heavens, slaughter guest.
Hello there. Do you need any help?
I'm coming.
Get back.
Go on, back with you. Don't get too close to me, young man. Keep a little distance. Otherwise, you'll have too much to aim at.
Are you all right, my lord?
Oh, I'm fine. The ball's dropped. Never been like this before. Oh, here he comes again. Yeah. Oh, well done. Now for the gate. Quick.
No. Slowly does it. Don't run.
Yes, very well. He's not giving up. He's thinking of having another go.
Well, I'll head this way. See if I can distract him.
Hey, you.
Here. Here.
I rather think it's you he's after.
Great, so.
Oh, he's off.
No.
Oh, no! Ah! Oh!
Well, there's nothing broken or even sprained.
No, I should think not.
What about you, John?
Ah, he's hurt his trousers the most.
Just a few grazes and cuts, Dr. Crofts.
Well, he dived through the hedge, you know. He's grieving about his hat, too. Would have gone back for it, the fool, if I had restrained him. Ball's got it as his consolation prize.
It seems to me, John, you'll become quite a hero.
Oh, yes. I fear he'll get most of the credit. Yet I was with the bull twice as long as he was. Well, it's all to be preferred to sleeping under trees, I think. That's where I met him last, Dr. Crofts. Asleep under a tree and looking very wretched. He's in love, no doubt. Are you in love, Eames?
I...
Oh, of course you are. What's her name? Mm-hmm. Well, whoever she is, I'm well sure you needn't blush for her. You in love, Doctor?
Well, if I was, my lord, I wouldn't let on. To you, I mean.
Oh, of course you wouldn't. Quite right. Nor if you were in love, would you lie under trees. By the by, did you ever meet the friend that Bernard Dale brought down to Allington? My sister Julia and he are staying at the same house at present. Crosby, I think his name is?
Yes, we met just the once at Mrs. Dale's.
Going to marry one of the girls, I believe.
That's right, Miss Lillian.
They're all connections of ours, the Dales. My other sister Fanny married one of Squire Dale's brothers. Know the Allington Dales well, do you?
Mrs. Dale and her daughters are very old friends of mine. Friends of John here, too.
Yes, indeed.
There's nothing about the elder girl getting married, is there?
Not that I have heard.
Very pretty girl. Shouldn't wonder if she became a wife for her cousin Bernard.
I'm not sure that it's a good thing for cousins to marry.
Oh, they often do. Suit some family arrangements. You'll stay for dinner, both of you.
My lord, I really...
Oh, no, you can't refuse me this time, John Eames. Though I ought to warn you that I may go to sleep immediately after the meal. Lady Julia says I do. She thinks it's a most dangerous practice. As dangerous as sleeping under trees, perhaps. So, on the good doctor's advice, I'm on a strict regimen, generally speaking. But I suppose a man may eat a good dinner after a fight with a bull, eh?
I think I hate this place. Hate its inmates. And if some of them are not to be hated, they are at least worthy of ridicule. Oh, when I think back to the garden at Allington and my dear little Lily and her sweet sister and mother. But I'm here. I have somehow slipped into this murky region of Tartarus and I can't get out. Lack the will to get out. I suit hell better than heaven, I suppose.
Care for a game?
I can't. Riding gear, I find, is awkward for billiards. And besides, you must put down your cue and talk. You have something to tell me.
Do I?
Yes. You promised when you first came here.
What did I promise?
You know well enough. Not that it's of any special interest to me, but you did promise, so you have aroused my curiosity. Now, sir, you may redeem that promise, or you may let it alone. But I tell you this fairly. No man is so mean in my eyes as a man who fights under false colours.
Oh, I see, and I...
Do forgive me.
Lady Julia.
I didn't realise you were here, the two of you. Are you intending to be at the table, Lady Julia? At the table? No, I don't imagine so. My apologies to you both for intruding.
Not at all. Indeed, you weren't.
You have heard, have you, Mr. Crosby, from our dear friend Lily Dale?
Yes. I received a letter only this morning.
How pleasant.
It told, among other things, of your brother's encounter with a bull.
The bull? Yes. I was sent a short note.
Dear, oh dear. Lord De Guest wasn't hurt, I hope?
Not at all. A young fellow seems to have fallen from the sky and carried him off on his back. A most entertaining tale.
Yes. Well, I'll leave you.
Wish the Earl had been hurt. Wish I'd been able to tell her that his stupid old neck had been broken.
Mr. Crosby, fie. But to return...
Yes, you had just made the suggestion, I recall, that I was fighting under false colours.
Well, aren't you? I mean, you come into a house like this with a public rumour of your being engaged, and then you conduct yourself as though nothing of the kind had happened.
Alexandrina.
No, sir. No.
You have no right to speak to me in that fashion.
You mean you insist upon your title?
All ladies insist upon their title, as you put it, unless they are privileged with greater intimacy than you can claim. You did not, I imagine, call Miss Dale by her Christian name until you'd obtained permission. Well, since you're too cowardly to tell me what you had sworn to tell, I will leave.
No, please stay. I am unhappy. And you should not say words intended to make me more miserable still.
And why are you unhappy?
Why? I will tell you why. It is because the woman I am in love with is not the one I have promised to marry.
A most pitiable predicament, Mr. Crosby. I wonder if you'll find the courage to resolve it.
The die is cast now. I shall break off my engagement with Lily, and then I... It's better this way, so much better. For Lily's well-being, if not for my own. If I don't truly love her, it's a crime, surely, to think of marrying her. Certainly I'd be prepared to cut my own throat, but why cut hers as well? It's my right, it's my obligation to set her free. And by setting her free, of course, I am free, in turn, to marry Lady Alexandrina, if she'll accept me, which I feel sure she will. Ah, good evening, Lord de Courcy.
What? Oh,
But look, Adolphus, are you convinced that you do not love Lily? Do you not love her anyway as much or as little as you love Alexandrina? Surely you do. And yet Alexandrina is a woman of style, a handsome woman. And by loving her... By marrying her, I mean, I shall become eligible for various benefits pertaining to status and income. I shall have connections. The secretaryship of the General Committee Office, that will become mine for certain. I might have got it anyway, it's true, but there was always an element of doubt. Benefits, real benefits, whereas marriage to Lily, that would only have brought misery. So, what to tell Lily? I am unworthy of her and must freely confess as much. I will write to her, declare that I cannot make her happy, and therefore, as an honest man, I best do my duty by relinquishing the great favor which she has granted me. Yes, keep your head up, Adolphus. Many others, and some great men among them, have gone through this same fire before and emerged unscathed. And yet, you know, Lily was a sweet... Sweet soul.
Oh, the woman is quite appalling.
Disturbing the house, disgracing herself every day. She should be asked to leave.
Now, here stand Lady Alexandrina and her charming sister, Emily.
I agree, my dear, wholeheartedly.
Not forgetting Mortimer Gazebee, though it is easy to do so. He and I will become related, I suppose, if I marry Alexandrina. Oh, dear.
Ah, Crosby, come and join us.
Thank you, Gazebee. Lady Emily, Lady Alexandrina.
I hope you've been enjoying your stay. You know, we haven't seen that much of you.
That's true, Lady Emily.
You'll have to come and visit us when we're all back in town, won't you, Mortimer?
Indeed you will.
You're very kind. Lady Alexandrina, I wonder if I might have a word.
By all means.
In private.
Oh, very well.
Do excuse us.
Yes.
I told you yesterday, Lady Alexandrina, when I spoke of my engagement, that another woman possessed my heart.
That is true. You did.
Well, you must know to whom I allude.
But I do not know, Mr. Crosby. I'm not a magician.
It is you I love. I'm sure I hardly need to tell you.
Need? Yes. Ought? No. Considering that you're engaged to Miss Dale.
I was foolish there, I confess. Though perhaps the situation might have been avoided had you behaved differently when we were last together in London at your sister's party.
Indeed?
Had you been less...
Less what?
Less defiant.
Defiant? It was all my fault.
It doesn't matter now how the blame is to be apportioned. The fact is, I will not marry when I love another. So, Alexandrina, may I hope for an answer?
An answer to what?
Alexandrina, will you be my wife?
Oh, I see. And may I ask how many weeks it is, Mr. Crosby, since you addressed the very same question to Miss Dale?
Look, I have told you everything as I promised I would, and by heaven, Alexandrina, I'll have an answer now.
Mr. Crosby, I declare your fierceness startles me. What if I decline the honour?
I shall think you the most fickle of your sex.
And if I accept?
I'd swear you were the best, the dearest, and the sweetest of women. What is your answer?
My dear Crosby, I have just heard some very, very exciting news. May I congratulate you on behalf both of myself and of Lady Emily?
You may, Gatsby, you may.
It is official, is it?
I hope it's about to be. I'm seeing her father now.
Oh, splendid. You are aware, I take it, that I am attorney for the De Courcy family.
Yes, Gatsby.
So, anything on the financial side, settlements and so on, it'll all come through me. Happy to talk as soon as you find it convenient.
Fine, I'm much obliged.
Oh, good luck with the Earl.
Thank you.
Enter!
My lord?
Oh, yes, it's you. I'm not very well, as you see. Seldom am. What's your name again?
Adolphus Crosby, my lord.
And you mean to marry my daughter?
Yes, my lord. I know, of course, that I have no right to look so high.
No, probably not. She might have expected better, and so might her sister. But it's of no concern to me if they wish to marry commoners. My wife informs me you've no fortune, nor has Alexandrina. You know that, do you?
I have a few thousand, and I believe she has as much.
Enough, possibly, to buy bread to keep the two of you from starving. All I'll say is I'll tolerate no nonsense. I've had a woman in here telling me some story about a girl you've made a fool of. Well, that's nothing to me. But you try any knavery with Alexandrina and you'll find you've made a very serious error. Understand?
Absolutely, my lord.
Good.
You know, I shall be angry with him if he's not a good correspondent.
No, Mama, that you won't, because I won't let you. Please to remember that he is my lover, not yours.
Oh, but, my dearest, I've only to see your face as you watch for the postman.
Then I won't watch for the postman. Not if it makes you have bad thoughts about Adolphus.
Lily!
Well, they are bad thoughts, Mama. I won't have you thinking that he doesn't do everything that is right.
No. Of course not.
We mustn't argue. I've no wish for us to be divided, Mama. Not now, nor when I go to London.
We shall never be really divided, my love. Not in our hearts.
I know. And yet that won't be enough. When I am married, I shall want my new house to be a home to you. A place where you can be happy and where I can see you often and talk with you and caress you.
Yes, but Lily, you will have someone else to talk to, someone else to caress. And your house will be his house and will be full enough without me. And I wouldn't have it otherwise. My dear, you and Belle are everything to me. Everything. And when you are married, Lily, and when Belle is married, it'll be a painful parting, but a parting it must be. You must leave me, and I hope and pray that the man to whom you will devote yourself will be allowed a long life,
Mama.
A long life so that for all of your life he may love you and protect you.
Well, Alexandrina, I'm due to leave in 5 minutes. So if you'll excuse me.
By all means. I trust you'll have a good journey.
Thank you. You won't come outside?
No, indeed. I'm sure it's far too cold.
I shall see you next to Christmas.
I look forward to that. Oh, Mama wanted to know if you'd written yet to Miss Dale.
No. But I shall be doing so as soon as I reach London.
If the poor girl still has notions about you, it would be better to undeceive her quickly.
Oh, I agree. So then, goodbye. My dearest.
Mr. Crosby, for Barchester Station.
That's right.
These are your bags, sir?
Yes, just before. Back at Christmas, then.
Mr. Crosby!
Oh!
A word with you, please.
Lady Julia, I have a train to catch.
Is it true that you have become engaged to Lady Alexandrina?
That is a private matter, and I really don't know why you should be inquiring into it.
I'm sorry, sir, but you do know.
That poor young Miss Dale, who has no father, no brother, she is a neighbour of mine, a friend, and I have a right to speak for her.
Lady Julia, I fear I must decline to discuss the topic.
She was too good for you, Mr. Crosby. That's what she was. She was too good for you. And you are a poor, weak, silly fool.
Ready, driver. Very well, sir. Walk on.
A fool and a villain. And I'll tell everyone so, Mr. Crosby. I'll tell them what you've done.
I am a villain. Some villains, of course, in literature at least, are objects of admiration, heroes almost by virtue of their villainy. But my villainy is not of that order. I am a villain from weakness. I can never write that letter to Lily. Impossible. I'd sooner die. I loved Lily Dale. Loved her. What is there to love in Lady Alexandrina? Aside from the advantages that might accrue from marrying her. And even these, now that I am drawn in closer to the De Courcy fold, seem at once less promising and less tangible. Oh, if only I had never gone to Courcy Castle!
Well, Johnny, let's face it. The weeks away have not been everything you hoped for. But everything you hoped for, in truth, was Lily. And you never had the right to have much hope there. There is no hope now. It was not all miserable. I made a friend of Lord De Guest, and he was very kind to me. But that's pretty small consolation.
Cab, Governor!
Yes, please. And what have I got to go back to?
Merton Crescent, a bit beyond Russell Square. I know it.
Cradell. Mrs. Roper. The Lupexes. Amelia. She'll be terribly angry that we're not getting married, despite the letter I wrote. Perhaps I won't go to Burton Crescent tonight. I'll stay at a hotel.
Driver?
Which hotel?
Driver.
Oh, well.
What's all the secrecy, old chap? And I'm engaged to be married, or aren't you?
I am, yes. But not to Miss Lily Dale. I'm afraid I've got into terrible trouble, Pratt.
Well, who are you engaged to?
Lady Alexandrina De Courcy.
Oh.
I was already sort of half engaged to her before.
I see. And now you are altogether engaged to her.
Yes. Who told you about Miss Dale?
Her cousin. He was in here last week.
You haven't seen him this evening, have you?
No, no. You've behaved very badly, you know.
Yes, I fear I have.
Making an offer to a girl in September, and then the next month going to another house, and making an offer to a girl of higher rank.
Rank has nothing to do with it, Pratt.
Forgive me, but it rather looks as if it does. How are you going to tell Miss Dale?
I don't know.
You're determined to stick to the Earl's daughter.
Sorry?
You're not going to jilt her, too.
Heavens, no, that's out of the question. No. I shall marry Alexandrina. Unless I do away with myself first.
And what about the uncle? What are you going to say to him?
Squire Dale? Oh, I don't give a damn for him. I'll tell him the whole wretched story if he's interested to hear it.
Mr. Crosby, sir, there's a visitor for you.
Is there now?
His card, sir.
Oh, no.
Who is it?
Did you tell the gentleman I was here?
No, he said I thought you were upstairs, sir.
Who is it?
Dale. The girl's uncle.
Shall I ask him to come up?
No. Mr. Crosby will see him in the waiting room.
Very well, sir.
So, Crosby, what do you intend to do?
I don't know. I don't know.
I wouldn't advise you, by the way, to deny the fact of your second engagement simply to get out of a tight spot with Mr. Dale.
I wouldn't dream of doing such a thing.
If you don't intend to marry his niece, you must tell him.
Yes.
Only I'm not sure I'd want to tell him at the present moment if I were you.
What can I do?
Oh, you could get out of the club, shirk a confrontation. Unfortunately, you'd have to go on shirking confrontations for the rest of your life.
Pratt, I must say I expected more from you. Is this friendship?
I don't know how I can help you. You're in an impossible scrape.
What if you saw Dale?
No, Crosby. Not if I'm expected to take your part.
You can take any part you like. Just see him. Tell him I was already half engaged to the other girl, and that when I came to reflect on it all, I decided I wasn't fit to marry Miss Dale.
Crosby.
Look, I've done wrong. I admit it. But thousands have done so before.
Perhaps. But I've never counted any of them among my friends.
Oh, you're turning your back on me.
I didn't say that. But I can't defend you. Your conduct hardly permits that. I will see this gentleman if you wish it.
I do, I do. Tell him, remind him how I was deceived about his niece, how I thought he was to give her some fortune. Tell him that when I learned the truth, I began to change my mind.
Crosby.
It's the truth. I talked it all over with him. He knows how disappointed I was. Now, you better go down first. Once you begin your conversation with him, I'll slip out. But make sure that the door to the room is closed.
Of course.
I'm very grateful to you.
And so you should be. This goes beyond friendship.
Power. Control. It's slipping away. Respect, likewise. All self-respect. Well, that's long gone. There can surely be no shame, no humiliation greater than this. I'd offer myself to be kicked, whipped. If only I was man enough.
I can scarcely believe it. 2 weeks, no more, since he left my home.
2 weeks, no more.
And now I've had this letter from an old family friend.
2 weeks that have laid my life in ruins.
Damn it, will the man not see me? Is he such a coward?
Oh, yes, Squire Dale. He is.
I won't tolerate it. I'll tell the Ducotes and tell all the world what kind of man he is.
Tell them, Squire Dale. Tell them Adolphus Crosby is a coward.
Good night, Sam.
Good night.
A coward and a scoundrel and the most miserable, degraded wretch alive. Back to work. Well, back at my desk. I rather doubt whether the Crown will get an adequate return for my wages today, for it is hard enough after a long leave to focus the mind and summon the spirit, but for me, this morning, it is 10 times harder. Oh, I am indeed the most miserable wretch.
Morning, Crosby. Good to see you again.
Butterwell, thank you.
He has a letter for you.
Ah, most kind. The Board of Commissioners have great pleasure in informing you that... Yes. Good news, Butterwell.
Exceedingly good news, is it not? And may I be the first to congratulate you with all my heart. You have got this advancement early in life, Crosby. But you deserve it thoroughly. Much more so than I did when I was appointed.
Oh, I think
not. Oh, yes, yes. We are deuced lucky to have such a man as you. And I told the Commissioner so when they were considering my replacement.
I'm very much obliged to you, I'm sure.
I've actually known for some time that you were their choice, before you went on leave. Things moved fairly swiftly after Sir Raffle's departure was fixed.
Did they? I wish I had been informed, Butterwell.
Nonsense! One shouldn't spoil a surprise. And anyway, there's many a slip...
Yes, true enough.
Good heavens! But I had quite forgotten. You have a second cause for celebration.
That's right. I do.
Success all round. Hey, Crosby!
Yes. Yes. Two weeks. If only I'd known 2 weeks ago. If Butterwell had dropped a hint that the omens were good... £800 a year wasn't on, but 12 or 13, that's a different picture. Lily and I... Oh, Lily. sweetest girl. If I'd even known of my preferment just a few days ago, I could have seen Squire Dale at the club, told him that I was still engaged to Lily, that what he'd heard was a malicious rumor. No. No, it was too late then. Jilting Lily is one thing. Jilting the Lady Alexandrina, quite another. So I am to be promoted. To try to help achieve that promotion, I abandoned a perfect treasure of a girl in favor of a woman I do not think I can love, whom I do not admire, who, if the truth be told, is past her prime, has no grace, no charm, no winning attributes, or none that I can find. Oh, yes. Success all round.
Back at Burton Crescent. I'd give anything to be anywhere but here. How can I face Amelia? What am I to say to her? Number 33. Also here is Miss Amelia's mother, Mrs. Roper. So happy she'd be if her boarding house could become a respectable place. But she won't be happy while my old friend Credale is a lodger, making a fool of himself with Mrs. Lupex. And while Mr. Lupex makes a fool of himself with drink and jealous fits. As for John Eames, he's a fool for coming back at all.
Well, Lily, what has the postman brought today?
Nothing. Not for me, that is. But Mama... Oh, Belle, I think something has happened.
What do you mean?
Mama has a letter, and she's taken it up to her room.
Well, is anybody ill? Do you know? Who is the letter from?
I think it is from Adolphus.
Oh, Lily. What are you saying?
I don't know. Please, Belle, don't look at me like that.
I'm sorry, but you frighten me.
I frighten myself. The letter I got from him yesterday. You remember, you asked if there was any news, and I said there was nothing for your ears. Well, there was nothing there of anything. A mere two lines. No dearest Lily, no signature.
Oh, sister. You do not know Mama's letter is from him.
No, I haven't spoken to her. I'll go up to her now. But you mustn't come, Belle. Don't look so unhappy. Please.
I know that I will be punished. The worst punishment will be this. That I can never hold my head up again. Mrs. Dale, it is my belief that I would not have made your daughter happy. And that is the only excuse I can offer. She has been brought up as an angel with a deep trust in all that is good and pure. But throughout my life, I have been surrounded by things that are low and mean and ignoble.
I must inform you also that I am engaged to marry... another woman. Oh, how bitter your feelings will be when you read this. But they will not be so bitter as mine.
Mama?
Oh, Lily.
May I come in?
Mama?
Oh, my child.
I know it is from him, Mama. Tell me everything, please, at once. Tell me, Mama. Is he ill? If he is, I will go to him.
No. No, he is not ill.
Then let me read the letter.
No, not yet. It is very bad news.
Bad for him, or only bad for me. If he is not in danger, I can read the letter. Mama, whatever it is, I must be allowed to know it. And anyway, I begin to guess the truth. Before he left here, you see, I offered to release him. And I suppose he has thought it over while away from me, and has decided that it would be better if my offer were accepted. Is that so, Mama? He might have written me the letter.
Oh, there is a note for you which was enclosed.
I would like to see it, please. Let me have his last words to me. Have you read this?
No.
Then you shall hear it now. You have trusted one who was quite untrustworthy. I know that you will hate me, and I cannot even ask you to forgive me. But you will at least allow me to pray that you may be happy. A.C. I will not hate him. And I do forgive him.
Oh, Lily, you frighten me. You seem so very calm.
Well, I am calm. But you mustn't be frightened. I know the truth. I am not deluding myself. I have been very unfortunate. The brightest hope of my life is gone. I loved that man beyond all the world. And I shall never see him again.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
Oh, dear child.
I would like to see the letter he wrote to you.
Not now, Lily. I've told you enough for the present.
I would like to see it, Mama.
Very well.
Thank you.
Oh, Lily.
Engaged. He's engaged.
Yes.
He's been very quick.
Yes.
You must tell him that I forgive him, Mama. That I do not hate him. You will tell him that when you write to him, won't you?
Oh, my dearest, I don't know if I can.
You must. He has made me very unhappy, but I have loved him just as you loved Father. I love him still.
Well, I will try to forgive him.
But even if you fail in that, Mama, you must write what I asked you to write. Promise me you will.
Oh, I can make no promise, Lily. But I will attempt to do my duty.
Oh, Mama. We must be very good to each other now. We shall always be together. And I must be your friend and counsellor. And indeed be everything to you. I must fall in love with you now.
Lily? Lily?
Yes, sister. He has gone.
Oh,
my dearest Apollo. Gone forever.
I received your note.
Close the door. Whatever you have to say is not, I suppose, the entire household to him. Well, what have you got to say?
I'm not sure.
Oh, you must have something to say to me. You have been away from me long enough. Oh, John. John, is it to be thus after love such as ours?
I don't know what you mean.
Oh, if you are engaged to marry LD, then be a man.
I'm not engaged to marry her, and I've no wish to have her spoken about.
No more have I. Oh, what's she to me if she means nothing to you? Oh, but Johnny, why did you write me that letter? That cruel, heartless letter. Why, Johnny?
Because I thought it best, Amelia. I mean, what's a man to do with a mere £90 a year?
Oh, plus the 20 your mother allows you.
Well, what's a man to do with a mere 110?
Rising £5 every year. Oh, of course. If your heart was right, Johnny, you wouldn't be so concerned about money. If you love me, as once you said you did.
Oh, Amelia.
Johnny! Johnny! I wouldn't mind about anything. Believe me. If I knew that you love me. Oh, tell me you do.
Oh, Amelia. Amelia.
Mr. Dale, what is to be Crosby's punishment?
Punishment? I know of none. Except the scorn that would be felt for him. I tell you what, Mary, I don't understand it. I could scarcely believe it. No gentleman would have done such a thing when I was young. Wouldn't have dared.
May I?
Yes, Bernard, come in.
I called round, Mrs. Dale.
I know.
Has Lily been told everything?
Yes, Bernard.
Mrs. Dale, I'm most terribly sorry. Not merely that it's happened, but that I was in some way... Well, that I brought him here. You know, we always thought very highly of him at the club.
So much for your club.
I wish there was something I could do. I feel very strongly, Mrs. Dale, that Crosby should not be allowed to go unscathed.
I feel the same.
I'll not have you inviting him to a duel, Bernard.
Good heavens, no.
No, I wouldn't wish that.
It would, anyway, be for nothing. Men are not expected to duel these days, and a coward of Crosby's order is unlikely to accept an invitation. All we can do with him is treat him as we would a rat. Throw a stick at him if he comes near. Keep him out of the house. If only we had kept him out of the house last summer.
Oh, yes. If only.
Give Lily my best love.
And mine.
I feel I owe her much, because the scoundrel stayed with us. If her old uncle could do anything for her, she's only to let me know.
That's very kind.
And Mary,
think of what I said to you before about Bernard and Belle.
I love him. I will always love him. And in my heart, I feel that he still loves me. Whatever he has said, whatever he has done. Adolphus, I can forgive you. It is easy to do that. But I can never forget. It will all stay with me. The stages by which friendship grew into something more. Something I was almost frightened to admit to myself. Dinner at the great house. Croquet. Walks. Words of jest. Glances. Smiles. And at last, love. Happiness. Your kisses, dearest Adolphus. Your caresses. Standing here in the garden the night of the party, do you remember when I talked of poetry and love and the moon? But Adolphus, you must like the soft twilight too, and the long evenings when we shall be alone. And you must tell me that the world isn't hard and dry and cruel.
It won't be dry and cruel if I can prevent it.
Adolphus, I forgive you. I forgive you. I forgive you.
There he is. Now, don't you think he's like Lambkin?
Lambkin?
The bull we had trouble with. Lambkin was the sire. Just like him, this fellow is. Particularly around the forequarters, don't you think so?
Yes, possibly.
It's very odd, Johnny, but that bull, the one you met, he's been as quiet as anything since that day. Must have been my red handkerchief that provoked him.
Yes, or perhaps the flies.
Well, we must go soon. I ordered dinner at 7. Oh, my brother-in-law will be joining us, Colonel Dale. You know the Dales down at Allington, don't you?
Oh, yes. Very well.
Bad business, by the by, with the girl. You've heard, I suppose.
Yes. Extremely bad business.
Anyway, the Colonel is Bernard Dale's father. He's in town to sign some papers. Hates travelling. Lives in Torquay. Queer fellow.
Is the Earl asleep?
I'm not asleep. And every word you said, very uninteresting it was too. Enough certainly to give one a good reason for sleeping. Now come, now. This won't do. Dale, what do you think of that fella Crosby? He should have every bone in his body broken, don't you agree?
Well, I certainly do, my lord. He's the most abominable rascal I ever met. I only wish I was Lily Dale's brother, and then I'd do what was expected of me.
Oh, you would you?
I beg your pardon, sir, but you see, I have known Mrs. Dale and your nieces all my life.
Well, dare say you have. Which is as well not to make too free with a young lady's name. Not that I blame you in the least, Mr. Eames.
I should think not. I honour him for what he said.
Yes, well, I'm afraid I must leave you both. It's been a tiring day. Nice to have met you, Eames.
Got him on a raw nerve there, Johnny.
Sorry, I didn't mean to.
Oh, there are bound to be a good few who believe his son should punish Crosby for what he's done. I suppose if we say we're Christians, we ought to act like it too, but were I Bernard Dale, I might be quite inclined to forget my Bible lessons.
I'd do it. I'd gladly pitch him to Crosby. Do it tomorrow if I had the chance.
You, Johnny? No. You're not the right person at all. What have you got to do with it?
Oh, not a lot, really, except...
You're simply a family friend. Except what?
Except... Well...
Johnny,
You're not in love with Miss Dale, are you?
In love? Well, I don't know about that, my lord. But I go through fire and water for her, that's for certain.
You are in love with her.
Well, I've loved her better than Crosby will love anyone. When I heard she was going to marry him, I'd half a mind to cut my throat. Or his. That's ridiculous, I know. She'd never have accepted me.
Not if you'd cut your throat, I dare say. Listen, I have an idea. Why don't you come down and spend your Christmas with me?
With you? Oh, my lord,
Oh, no, my lording, if you please. Now, just do as I tell you. Come to the manor for Christmas, and then you could go over to Arrington, see Miss Dale, and tell her plainly.
No, I couldn't say a word to her, not at present.
Well, we'll talk to the squire, then. Start smoothing the path.
Oh, no, my lord.
But I say, oh, yes. And listen, you're not to think you're not good enough for her. A man should never think he's not good enough. If he thinks that, you know, other people will start believing it.
I don't see why he shouldn't be at Guestwick Manor.
No, dear.
I'd rather it were Johnny Eames than me. Lady Julia's so grumpy.
Oh, it is strange, though. Of course, I know all about the incident with the ball, but that was a while ago now. And why should the Earl invite your Uncle Christopher over, specially?
I don't know, Mama. I don't know. I'm sorry. It's just that they will be talking about me, in a kindly way, I'm sure, but I find that upsetting. Oh, Mama, what is so hard is that everything manages to connect with what happened. There's no respite.
Well, time will heal.
Perhaps. But if it doesn't, Mama, I promise you that I will bear it. Bear it without lasting unhappiness, I mean. Though I shall always love Adolphus. You understand that?
Yes, Lily.
I know you think I shouldn't, but I can't help it. Nor can I help feeling now that I've lost him, almost, I suppose, as you must have felt when you lost Father. You must promise never to be tired of me, Mama.
Mothers do not often get tired of their children.
Well, they might when their children become old maids. I intend to have a will of my own, Mama.
Oh, you have that already.
A will and a way, if possible. When Belle is married and has left us, I shall consider you and me to be in partnership. I can't be dutiful all my life.
Forewarned is forearmed.
You're humouring me, I know. You think I will change my mind, get over it. But at present, Mama, I don't think I can. I can't love again because there is a man I love already. I only wish, though, that I could show that love. And another thing, Mama. Mm-hmm. You must tell me as soon as you hear that his wedding day is fixed.
Oh, Lily.
I don't want to spend it like an ordinary day.
In my view, the girl has been very fortunate in her escape. But I have to say, Mr. Eames, I feel my brother is optimistic about an early match between you and her.
I feel so too, Lady Julia. In fact, I have tried to tell the Earl as much.
Oh, he's a stubborn soul, I know. I don't mean that you won't succeed in the long run, if you're patient. But I fear you may spoil your chances if you ask her too soon.
Yes, but the Earl tells me that if I'm not soon enough, I'll be too late.
That's nonsense. She's not that sort at all. Such an awkward business. I wonder what Mr. Dale will think of this matchmaking.
John Eames, in love with Lily?
Yes, and I heartily wish he'd won her regard before you had that rascal Crosby down to your house.
A man can't help these things, De Guest.
Of course not.
And one's not to suppose that she'd have thought as well of Eames as you seem to do. Anyway, it's too late now.
No, that's just it. It's not too late. Mustn't be. Dale, I want to interest you to work in this fellow's favour. And in doing so, I mean to be very open with you. Money.
Hmm?
I suppose the girl will be getting something from you when she marries, whether it's Johnny Eames who weds her or someone else.
I don't know, I'm sure.
Well, Johnny will be getting something from me. If a match is made between your niece and Johnny, I don't think she'll find it a bad one from the pecuniary point of view. I trust she'd be happy for other reasons, too.
Naturally, I'm very grateful to the Earl, though I never really got the chance to tell him, because he would always interrupt. But I suppose if I were honest, I'd rather not have him helping or trying to help. Rather not have Squire Dale involved either, the cross old stick. Not that he's promised to do anything, except think about it. Though the Earl says that that's a good sign.
Barchester Junction! This is Barchester Junction! Train on platform 2 is Barrington Road.
Despite all that, I suppose that if it meant that there was some chance, even the remotest chance, of winning Lily's heart, I wouldn't mind who was willing to help me, or how it might come about.
This one will do, Potter.
Yes, sir. At your own speed, sir. Don't hurry yourself.
I know that voice.
No, I shall not hurry myself. I'm going to break my legs or anyone's account.
You take your time, sir.
Yes, I mean to. Excuse me.
Certainly. Crosby. Don't think he's seen me. Well, Crosby.
Thank you, Potter.
He's coming in. I'm sweating. Turned crimson. Where's he going to sit? Oh, yes.
Excuse me.
Right opposite. Now he'll look up. Fix him straight in the eye, Johnny. Good man. And in return, he just gives a little nod of the head. That's all.
John Eames. Well, well. Coming back after a quiet Christmas with his mother, no doubt. I could have done with a quiet Christmas. I was advised it would be quiet. We shall be all alone, says Lady De Courcy. Just the family, a chance for you to learn more of our little ways. It was certainly that. So much fluttering around from Alexandrina and giving petty orders. Initiating me into the little De Courcy domesticities. Treating me like some kind of tamed creature. Mortimer Gazebee, a man whom I formerly treated as a gross inferior, tying me up in clauses to the settlement, legally binding me hand and foot. His dear wife, the Lady Emily, chattering about arrangements for the wedding and the new home, citing her own experiences as examples and precedents, advising me that I'd better get my kitchen things at Tomkins. Then the Countess herself, informing me of Alexandrina's special needs, drumming into me how honored I am, reminding me, however, that there are duties and obligations attached to being in a noble family, providing me, too, with a list of commissions to be performed when I return to London. And finally, Lord De Courcy, who, by availing himself of a father-in-law's privilege, managed to be even ruder to me than on my last visit. Thank heavens, I had told them I could only spare 3 days for Christmas. Any longer, and I might have committed an act of violence.
Perhaps we should talk. I should say something at least. Tell the fellow what I think of him. Well, Johnny, I'd like to thump him, not talk to him. He's not far from you, Johnny. You could give him a good kick on the shin without moving off your seat. I would too. And worse, if the old man wasn't sitting here. Not fair on him to start a scrap.
Crosby!
He didn't hear me. Pretended he didn't. Can't let him go.
Crosby!
Told the Earl I'd thrash the man if I had the chance. And this is my chance.
Crosby!
Yes? What is it?
You're a scoundrel! You deserve a thrashing!
My dear fellow!
Scoundrel! Blackguard!
Get off me!
Help! You're a villain! Do you hear? Help! Police! Get the police!
Police! Yes, I'll go!
Appalling!
Villain! Blackguard!
What's all this about?
Separate them!
Now, mommy,
let's go! No, no, you must be butthurt!
There they come!
Who are you, blackguard,
young man?
Control!
Come back, everyone!
This man started in an entirely unprovoked attack!
Tell us why you met him, now, Ken!
No!
There, sir!
No! Yes. You're finished with him, yes, here! Oh, this man, I tell you! No. No, you've no idea what he's done!
No, we don't, but we saw what you were doing, you ruffian! You're under arrest! We're taking you to the station superintendent's office!
No!
Are you all right, sir?
Hardly.
I think it'd be helpful if you came along to the office, sir.
Must I?
Well, the superintendent will need a statement from you, sir, before he takes things further.
Do take a seat, Mr. Crosby.
Thank you. Look,
may I take a seat?
You may not. Don't make your case worse, young man, by offensiveness. The guard who was on your train, Mr. Crosby, informs me that you have come from Courcy Castle.
That is right.
And that you're familiar with the De Courcy family. Splendid. Mr. Crosby, may I, on behalf of the station authorities, express my very deep regret that you should have been exposed to an act of brutality on Platform 1.
You don't know anything about it.
Quiet.
You don't know what he's done.
Quiet.
Are you acquainted with this man, Mr. Crosby?
Yes. His name is Eames.
Eames? A most disgraceful affair, Mr. Eames. Most disgraceful.
Well, that's your opinion.
Yes, young man, it is. And I shall not hesitate, by the way, to represent the matter to your superior.
You know nothing about it, and I don't suppose you ever will. That fellow is a scoundrel. Looks as if he's got a good shiner coming, I'm pleased to see, but he deserves much worse than I've managed to give him.
Mr. Crosby, your attacker is obviously unrepentant. He's a reprobate and a menace to society. In my view, we really ought to take him before the magistrates.
No, that's not necessary. I will deal with everything in due course, if you will permit me. For the present, I have had my fill of Mr. Eames's insolence, and am anxious to get to my home.
Oh, you haven't done with Mr. Eames's insolence yet, I can tell you.
Mr. Eames?
All London will hear of what's happened, and all London will know the reason for it. If you have any shame in you, Crosby, which I doubt, you won't dare to show your face.
Morning, Mr. Crosby.
Morning.
Very sorry about that.
Yes, yes.
Morning, Mr. Crosby, sir.
My dear Crosby.
Butterwell.
Upon my word, that is a serious injury.
Worse than it looks, I assure you. Care to come into my room for a moment? It's disagreeable, of course it is, the whole business.
I think I'd have stayed away a few more days.
Yes, but gossip can start spreading, you know, if a man isn't seen for a while.
Yes. So, what happened? According to the paper...
The paper lies, as papers always do.
But you avenged yourself, did you?
No, Butterwell, I didn't.
Oh. The paper says you pretty well killed the fellow who did it.
No. The police came and so on. One isn't allowed to fight it out in a public place.
Of course not. Who was he, anyway? And what's this about him having aspirations with regard to a certain lady of a noble family?
That's all trash.
Ah. Then it was about the other girl, was it? The one at Allington.
You've heard about her.
Yes, Crosby. I've heard. So, the fellow wants to step into your shoes. I see. Not a bad way to start. What do you intend to do about the attack?
Nothing.
Nothing? That'll look mighty odd, won't it?
Perhaps, but it wouldn't be fair on the girl, you know, if I took the thing to the magistrates. I have to spare her name. The truth is, I've behaved rather badly with regard to her.
Yes, extremely badly from what I can gather.
Well, and what's to come next?
I've no idea, Cradell.
I imagine he'll put it in the hands of a friend, as I did with Fisher, you remember, when Lupex was threatening me.
Oh, yes. I wouldn't mind that.
And I suppose you'll come to me. A deuced bore to a man in a public office, such as myself. But I wouldn't desert you, Johnny, my boy. Not the sort.
I hope you found the noble earl well.
I found the noble earl pretty well.
Oh, it is such a privilege to be on visiting terms with the nobility. When I was a girl...
Yeah, well, you ain't a girl any longer.
My dear Lupex, you needn't be a brute to me before the whole of Mrs. Roper's company. If I was led away by certain feelings, which I need not now describe, and as a result left my proper circles, as one might say, and married you, there's no need for you to show the whole world how much I have to regret.
Oh, that's pleasant for a man over his meal, isn't it?
Mr. Eames.
What do you think, Miss Spruce?
Yes, Amelia?
Me? Oh, as for myself, I'm only an old woman.
Oh, that's true enough.
Mr. Eames, news of a certain incident has...
Then I say, whom God has joined together, let no man put asunder.
Yeah, yes, thank you, Miss Spruce.
An incident at Paddington Station?
Yes, Amelia. I'd rather not talk about it at the present moment.
You go along with that, would you, Mr. Cradell? Then what, God and so on?
Oh, indeed, certainly.
Yeah. Well, then, perhaps we could speak after the meal? So, will you fight a duel?
No, that's absolute nonsense.
I'm sorry, but I had a right to ask, you know. I have been very distressed, Johnny. Though, of course, you wouldn't care about that, seeing as you're so hard-hearted.
I'm not hard-hearted, and I'm not fighting a duel.
You did attack the man, Phil?
Well, yes, I did.
Don't misunderstand me, John. What you did was right. I honor you for it. In my view, there can be nothing so dreadful as a young man deceiving a young woman, winning her heart and then leaving her, particularly when she has had his promise in plain words, or even in black and white. I mean, what is a poor girl to do? Of course, she might try and right herself by claiming a breach of promise.
Yes, but a girl who'd right herself that way wouldn't be worth having.
Oh, I'm not so sure about that. When a girl is in such a position, she has to get help from somewhere. You don't think, then, that Miss Lily Dale will be bringing a breach of promise?
I have no idea what the intention is of that lady, but from what I know of her and her friends, I should think such an action was unlikely.
Oh, really? Well, that may be fine for Miss Dale, but for others... Anyway, Johnny, you see that I know all about it, about Miss Dale. She was your LD, of course. Not that I was ever jealous of her. To you, she was no more than a childhood friend, was she, Johnny?
For heaven's sake!
Johnny!
I hate all this twaddle about childhood friends and not being jealous. I tell you, the whole thing makes me sick, Amelia.
Does it? This is what you learn, I suppose, by staying at a lord's house. Perhaps you'd have been better off not coming back here, Johnny.
Certainly I would. Much better off. I'm going for a walk.
Johnny!
You know, I cannot imagine poor Johnny keeping holiday with Lord De Guest and Lady Julia. He's a very good young man, but he is rather awkward.
No, I didn't find him awkward at all. And he seemed to me to be very much at home in the manor.
Did he? I hope he'll benefit from it anyway.
Oh, he'll get on very well. A great deal better than his father did. But it was not of John Eames that I wished to speak. Mary, it is time that things were settled between Bernard and Belle.
There is nothing to settle. As far as I know, the position has not changed since last we discussed the
matter. Mary, you desire the match.
I would have desired it if Belle had.
But the wishes of all her family should have great weight with her.
Not in this regard, Mr. Dale.
Then you will not speak to Belle.
We have already spoken.
And did you tell her how happy it would make you if she and my nephew married?
I did not.
You are afraid to tell her.
I'm afraid to do what I believe is wrong.
I see.
Belle and Lily love and respect you as their uncle, but that will not give you the right to dispose of their hands.
I have no wish to do such a thing. I simply wish to speak to Belle. It will do a little good, I suppose, since you have set her against me.
No, you have no right to say that. You are very unjust, and I cannot suffer such a thing to be said to me. If you really think that I have set either of the girls against you... Well, then it would be much better if we left Allington altogether. Indeed, it would be quite wrong of me to keep us here. You have done much for my daughters, Mr. Dale, in the material world, Lisa.
I wish to do more.
I'm sure you do. But I cannot on that account give up my place as their parent. They are my children, not yours, however much you might do for them.
I think you are very hard on me. I knew the truth, of course. But I own I am hurt to hear you express it.
Oh, you mean you are hurt because I said my daughters must always be my own.
Mary, I have done all that I can for you and your children. You need not, in return, have begrudged me the affection and obedience which generally follows from such good offices. You and the girls have been living close to me for heaven knows how many years, but during all that time no kindly feelings have been fostered towards me, no affection. You yourself, Mary, wouldn't even enter this house if you didn't feel constrained to do so. Well, I suppose this is all as it should be. Having no children, I want to perform the duty of a parent to my nieces. Love them, care for them. But I have no right to expect anything from them in return.
Oh, my brother, my dear brother. Perhaps we have not thought as kindly of each other as we should have done.
Well, I have tried.
Let us try again, both of us.
Try again?
Mm.
Me, start anew, near 70? No, Mary, I fear not. Anyway, all this makes no difference to the girls. As long as I am here, they shall have the small house. If they marry, I will do what I can for them. But I cannot begin again.
You don't want me to marry him, do you, Mama?
No, my dear.
Uncle has no right to interfere. He has no right even to an opinion. Belle shall marry whomsoever she wishes.
And Lily likewise, as long as you approve the choice, Mama.
You approve of a certain doctor whose name Belle forbids me to mention, don't you, Mama?
Oh,
Dearest Lily, dearest Belle.
Uncle thinks he has the right to interfere because of the help he gives us, because of the house.
Yes. So, perhaps we should leave the house.
Mama?
I agree. We should leave as soon as possible.
It is easier said than done.
Of course, Mama. But let us take some necessary first step now. Clearly, Uncle Christopher is of the opinion that in remaining here, in accepting his generosity, we ought to submit to him. But we have no wish to submit. Therefore, we must go.
Well, could we not stay and pay him rent?
No, Lily. This place is too big.
I mean, even if we paid a moderate rent, we still wouldn't have the means of living here.
Well, not even if we lived on toast and tea.
I don't believe Uncle would take rent from us. But assuming he did, there would still be all the other arrangements, care of the garden and so on. No, I think we must give up the dear old house.
Yes, it is a dear old house. Oh, I'm not at all sure it would be right for us to move.
It would, Mama.
Of course it would.
But we're so comfortable here. We have so many advantages.
At some personal cost, Mama. And it's a cost we're not prepared to pay. So, have we decided?
I think we have. When will you tell him, Mama?
I shall brazen it out. It's the only way. Heavens, I have said enough times I did wrong. And it hardly does much for my prestige. Nor, for that matter, does being the victim of an attack at Paddington Station. But no good can come from turning on young John Eames. I'll let him be. But others had better watch themselves. I shall go to the club, and if anyone there shows me any slight, I'll not be slow in answering. Similarly, here, if some clerk is disrespectful. Damn it, I didn't gain a position before the world only to be crushed for one small error of judgment. I'll fight. I'll fight the members of the board if necessary. The board. I scorn every member of it. Not least Butterwell, that incompetent, vapid creature. I was his friend. I helped him to do his job, and now it seems he wants to disown me. Too late. I have already disowned him. Then there are the De Courcys. Well, I am not their humble servant, and I shall tell them so. I shall speak my mind. And if Lady Alexandrina, for example, doesn't like what I say and chooses as a result to end our alliance, let her. My heart will stay quite unbroken. And perhaps, if that were to happen, who knows? I might go back to Lily, ask for her pardon.
Sir?
Come.
Mr. Mortimer Gazebee to see you, sir.
No, oh, bring him in.
Mr. Gazebee.
Crosby. This is a very nasty affair.
The attack on me? Yes, so nasty, I don't want to talk about it. How are you?
I am well.
Good. And your dear wife?
The Lady Emily is quite unhappy about the incident at the station.
So am I, Gazavin.
She fears you have been a good deal hurt.
Oh, as regards physical damage, I have been temporarily disfigured, merely.
She thinks, in consequence of the injury, that you'd be more comfortable if you stayed with us this evening.
Thank you, but no.
Why not?
I think I'd be better at home.
That's absurd.
No, it's not. I'll sit in a chair with a beefsteak clapped to my eye.
The Lady Emily would be able to provide a beefsteak.
Gazebee, I am sure she will, but I want to be at home.
It would be advantageous if you came round to see us.
Oh, would it?
Yes. You could talk to the Lady Emily, explain what has happened, and then she can write to her mother. Well, otherwise, you see, all manner of stories about you will reach Courcy Castle.
Gazebee, I don't care what stories find their way to the castle.
Well, you should. You are part of the De Courcy family now, as I am.
Gazebee!
Your conduct reflects on us all.
Look, I shall write to Alexandrina with a full account of the affair, and you can tell her sister so.
Very well. I thought that as I was coming round...
What's this?
The life insurance policy.
Oh, where do I sign?
Leave the house. Leave it.
I cannot believe you're in earnest.
We are in earnest, Mr. Dale.
Are you not comfortable, Laura?
We are. More so than we have the right to be with our means.
Then why on earth are you going?
Oh, Mr. Dale, if you would accept our intention as a fact and not ask the reason...
Forgive me, Mary, but in a matter such as this, you must state your reason, and I trust that it is a strong one.
Well, then. It relates to our conversation of yesterday. The truth is this. You think that my children owe to you that sort of obedience which is due to a parent.
I have never said so.
No, you have never said so. Nor am I making a complaint. Although you have never expressed the thought, we feel that it is so. And that as long as the girls remain here, accepting from your hand so large a part of their daily support, it is only natural that you should regard yourself as having the right to exercise some influence over them. As, for example, in this unhappy business with Belle... And so, Mr. Dale, we have made up our minds.
Absurd. Absurd.
And you think it may be scarlatina?
Oh, I fear it is. You see, Jane, our maid, was ill a week back and was sent home. And we have since heard that she has the fever. So when Lily became unwell...
Yes.
Oh, she has tried to pretend that it was nothing, but this morning conceded that you should be called. Lily? Lily, it's Dr. Crofts, my dear.
Good morning, Lily.
Morning, Dr. Crofts. I'm so sorry that you had to come.
Well, treating the sick happens to be my job, so there's no need to apologize. How long have you been unwell?
Since yesterday evening.
Feverish?
A little. During the night. So in truth, Doctor, she's not been herself for some while now.
Lean forward, would you, Lily? Thank you. And now, please, look at your tongue. Very well. Yes, I think it may well be scarlatina. You have a rash on your neck, Lily, and your tongue is very red. Typical signs. But listen, everything is in your favour. The cold weather, your general condition prior to this, the fact that your mother sent for me reasonably soon. So believe me, there is no cause for alarm.
I've tried to love Alexandrina. I've tried to tell myself I love her. Tried to tell her. Oh, it isn't easy. She seems to find expressions of endearment as offensive as others would find abuse. If I could get her away from the family, from Lady Emily and Gazebee in particular, I might be able to teach her things. Teach her not to observe the strictest household economies in order to spend money on outward show. Teach her to forsake the carriage that had been got up to look as though it were privately owned, and to sit triumphantly in a street cab. Teach her to love me. Teach her all this. Impossible. She is already too well trained the other way. She is already too old.
I was at Courcy Castle yesterday.
Oh, yes.
On business.
My business, Gatherby?
No, not specifically, though marriage matters were mentioned. And one thing you'll be interested to know, Lady de Courcy maintains that it is becoming increasingly fashionable practice nowadays for the various bills incurred in the purchase of the bridal trousseau to be handled on the bridegroom's side.
What?
I myself expressed some doubt as to whether you'd find this idea altogether to your liking, even though it may be a la mode.
The audacity, the sheer brazenness of these people. Every shilling, every penny of mine, thanks to your zealous efforts, Gazebee, is now tied up in favor of Alexandrina's anticipated widowhood. I am borrowing vast sums in order to furnish the home, and now I'm being expected to stump up for the bride's outfits.
I'll do what I can to obstruct the arrangement.
Yes, please, Gazebee.
I do sympathize with the Countess. She is finding herself a little constrained.
She is.
I'm afraid that Lord de Courcy doesn't want this wedding to cost him.
No, and I didn't particularly want it to cost me. Why do you do it, Gazebee? How do you do it? From what source do you mine all this selfless devotion to the de Courcys?
I am married to the Lady Emily. I have a sense of obligation, therefore, as you will.
I wouldn't depend on it. But your work as attorney on their behalf, all your fussing and fretting, for instance, over the settlement, my life insurance. I mean, I take it you're not financially rewarded. If they won't pay for Alexandrina's hats, they're hardly likely to manage legal fees.
The work has its own reward.
Oh, Gazza.
The De Courses are a great and noble family, Crosby, and we are men of privilege, you and I, to be linked to them.
Seems to me the advantage is all theirs.
Are we getting out here?
Yes, we're meeting them in Haldane's, helping to choose a few carpets.
Ah!
I think I'll send the bill to the Countess.
No, Ally, it won't do. You don't think so?
Good morning, lady.
Good morning, Mortimer, the Dolphus.
Morning, Emily. Morning, Alexandrina.
Good morning. Why won't it do, Emmy? The green in the scroll work. It would run if any hot water was spilled.
If your ladyship would permit me, that particular green doesn't run.
What about this one?
Yes.
How are you this morning, Alexandrina?
Quite well, thank you. I very much liked the other.
No, not with the green in the scroll work.
Now, that's rather nice.
You think so? Yellow shows the dirt.
My lady, it's a superb carpet. We put down 450 yards at Cuthcullen Castle only last month.
Oh, for the Duchess of South Wales. Yes. Adolphus, before I forget, Mama wondered if you would go to Lambert's for her, on Ludgate Hill. They have a bracelet of hers to be collected.
A bracelet, I see. I will, if I happen to be that way.
Well, won't be long now, Crosby, till the two of you are moving into your new home. I think you chose well.
The house, you mean? I fear it's too small. My dressing room appears to be a cupboard under the stairs. But I can't have expected a larger dwelling when my entire savings are being invested in my death.
Of course, Lady Emily would have liked you to have chosen St. John's Wood.
Couldn't live there, couldn't endure it. Nice to visit. Being with you and Lady Emily is a perfect pleasure, but for myself, I couldn't live there. I actually would have preferred Pimlico.
Pimlico? Mm. That would have been a very long way from us.
Yes. Almost persuaded Alexandrina, she thought for a while, that it was verging on Belgravia.
Do you like it, Adolphus?
Sorry?
This one.
I'm not keen on the yellow. And the red bits are, well, rather too red. Something brown with a small pattern would be better, but I don't much care.
Of course he doesn't. I'd have it, Harry, provided they give you 5%.
Well, then, I'll be back tomorrow morning.
You're very kind. And yet I wish you would not come so often.
I've come as often as I thought it was necessary.
But you take no fee. And as a result, you are overloading us with obligations. On Sunday, you stayed the whole night.
Yes. Well, it will not be necessary much longer. The worst is over.
We owe Lily's life to you.
Oh, no. Scarlatina is not such a terrible thing as it was.
Lily was ill enough for you to devote much of your time to her, and for you to try and order me out of the house.
Ah, yes. Now, I did waste my efforts there.
You did. I'm afraid if I'd been sent away, I would only have come walking back as soon as I arrived. Well then, Doctor.
I gather you will all be leaving here in due course.
We are moving, yes, to Guestwick.
I suppose I ought to congratulate myself on having you so much nearer to me, but I cannot bear to think of you living anywhere but here at Allington. I don't believe you ought to move away unless the circumstances are very imperative.
They are.
Well, in that case, Belle, I would like to ask you a question.
Yes?
Perhaps I ought not to ask it, but I have known you so long that I almost feel that I am speaking to a sister. It is about Bernard Dale.
Ah.
There is a rumour in Guestwick that you and he...
It is untrue. Quite untrue.
I see. It would have been an excellent marriage.
What do you mean? You want me to marry Bernard simply because I would then have a large house to live in and a coach?
I think you misunderstand me. It would have been an excellent marriage if you and your cousin had loved each other.
Of course it would. Likewise, if I'd loved the butcher or the baker and been loved in return... What you meant was Bernard's circumstances offer a reason for loving him.
I don't think I did mean that.
Well, if you didn't, you meant nothing.
I must go. You have scolded me very dreadfully, Belle, and I deserve it for interfering.
You deserve it, but that was not your crime, Dr. Crofts. You must not assume we are all worldly and money-wise. You do not care for money so much yourself.
Oh, but I do. I think money is the best friend a man can have.
No, Dr. Crofts, you don't think anything of the sort. Otherwise, you wouldn't be looking after Lily and asking for no fee in return. you ought to be getting home. You have spent more than enough time here today.
I hope you don't begrudge my staying, Bill.
Begrudge it? How could I?
The sooner I leave, you know, the longer I must spend alone. I think that you certainly shall begrudge it.
What do you mean? You are as welcome to us as flowers in May. You always were so, and can hardly be less than welcome now, when you come to us in our trouble. At any rate, you shall never say that I turned you out.
Shall I never say so? What, Belle, if so poor a man as I should ask for the hand that you withhold from so rich a man as your cousin Bernard? Would you turn me out then?
Dr. Croft!
I thought as much. I will go now.
What is it you mean? Why are you trying to provoke me? This is all nonsense.
Yes, it is. I have no right to speak to you as I did, particularly as I am here in the way of my profession. I beg your pardon. Will you forgive me before I go?
Forgive you for what?
For daring to love you. For having loved you almost as long as I have known you. You should forgive me this, for I'm not sure I could have helped myself. But will you also forgive me for having told you?
Dr. Croft!
I had intended to ask you to be my wife. Simply that. Thought of it as I rode here today. During my frequent rides here these last weeks, I have thought of little else. But I told myself I had no right to ask you. I haven't even a house fit for you to live in.
Dr. Croft, if I loved you, if I wished to marry you...
But you do not.
No, I don't think I do. I suppose not. No. Money, though, has nothing to do with it.
But I am not that butcher or that baker that you spoke of whom you could love.
No, I... No.
I felt it would be so. I shall say goodbye. You know now what I meant when I spoke of being turned out.
Nobody turns you out.
But it is time I went, is it not? I shall be back tomorrow, of course, to tend to your sister, and you will find that you hardly recognize me for the same fellow that has been making a fool of himself this evening. Well, you now know of my feelings, but I shall not, I promise, give you cause to be distressed again.
Dr. Crofts, I am very sorry. I have not been so much distressed as confused, taken aback. Dearest friend, I had not expected this. For the very reason, perhaps, that you are such a dear friend, and have been for so long.
Goodbye then, Belle.
Such a very dear friend.
Fallen from a height, fallen from my pride of place. I've tried to brazen it out, looked the world in the eye and said, all right, very well, I promised I would marry the girl, but I broke that promise. Became engaged to someone else instead of higher rank, yes, yes. And for jilting the girl, I was physically attacked by a foolish admirer of hers, set upon and beaten in a public place. This is true. But there are greater crimes than mine. Greater catastrophes than have befallen Lily Dale, and men have suffered greater disgrace than I did at Paddington Station. Well, I suppose this strategy has been of some benefit to my self-esteem. But nothing can restore me to where I was. At work, my authority and influence are less now than they were. At the club, my popularity is diminished, so that when I dine there, I dine alone.
and meet but infrequently those members whom I once considered to be part of my circle. I'm a kind of leper in a place where once I was a leading light. Despite my best efforts, things have changed with the De Courcys, too. And with Lady De Courcy most especially. Oh, a mere 6 months ago, she accorded me a degree of respect and warmth. Now I am to marry her daughter. And one might have expected our good relations to have been maintained, at the least, if not grown, considerably better. But no. By becoming engaged to Alexandrina, I have been made a captive. And I am to be treated as such. Oh, I have offered my little demonstrations of protest, but in truth, I have submitted. Altogether, I am a little man now.
He's nothing but an old savage. Thinks everyone is to do just as he tells them. And naturally, you oblige him, take sides with the man at every opportunity.
So should you, seeing how much you're indebted to him.
Well, to tell the truth, sister, I would take his side with anyone but you.
Lily!
But you see, the topic of Dr. Croft is the only one which provokes from you a strong reaction. What do you talk of, Belle, when you and he are alone? Tell me.
Lily, you are allowed to tease me about Dr. Croft's, but your privilege does not extend thus far.
Is there nothing, then, that you can recount to me? Is it all so very private?
Well, I...
Why, then, has he perhaps declared his love to you? Belle, did he ask you to marry him?
Yes, he did, 2 evenings ago.
Belle! And what was your answer?
I said nothing.
Nothing?
I don't think I said anything. I can't remember.
But silence always signifies consent. He'll know that.
No, he won't. My silence, if silence it was, signified no consent, dear sister.
But you didn't mean to refuse him.
I'm not sure.
Oh, Belle.
I thought it safer, anyway, to say no, or... At least to say no by my face.
But why? What if he asks you again, dearest sister? What will your face tell him then?
I don't know. Oh, I feel as if I'd like years to decide. Anyway, he won't ask again.
And the verdict?
I pronounce you almost well.
Almost well? Doctor, your tyrannical reign is over. I'm out of bed. I'm recovered.
Almost, as I say. But you must take care not to exert yourself. Yeah, for instance, Lily, I gather the family is moving quite soon.
The 1st of May, Doctor. And no, I will not overdo my contribution to the packing. Oh, it will be so strange to be gone from here.
I'm sure it will. You are all still convinced that it is necessary?
Oh, by no means. We waver most terribly. In particular, we worry that the Squire will be very hurt by our going.
Yes, he may be.
And yet, of course, he brought it all about by interfering as he did, you know, or trying to. Perhaps you don't know.
About Bernard and Belle. I had guessed.
Dr. Croft, the other evening when you were here with Belle, did you, by any chance, ask her to marry you?
Yes, Lily, I did.
What was her answer?
I cannot remember her precise words, but she refused me.
No, Doctor, it was not so.
Trust me, Lily, it was. I don't think I could be mistaken.
Well, if she said no, she didn't mean it. You must not believe her. If you really love her, she would be mad to refuse you.
I do love her. Of that, I'm certain.
Then go to her again. Perhaps she is still unsure of her feelings, but she will discover them, Dr. Crofts. She will learn to love you as you would wish to be loved, believe me. Go to her again, please. Doctor, my reasons for asking you are purely selfish. I cannot afford to lose a dear brother such as you. Please try once more, Dr. Crofts.
It's hardly necessary for me to say, Adolphus, how thoroughly satisfied I am with this marriage.
Oh, good.
With regard to the wedding itself, Adolphus, I must advise you that we are to a great degree governed by circumstances.
Oh, I understand the position perfectly. You need have no fear on that score. If Alexandrina were marrying the eldest son of a marquis, you would have had a large procession to the church. But in my case, it can be considerably reduced.
Adolphus, you put things in such an odd way.
Oh, that's all right, as long as we understand each other. It's to be St. James's, I hear.
St. James's, February the 14th.
Valentine's Day. Yes. More tea, Lady de Courcy?
I won't, thank you. Having it in London, of course, does mean that the Earl will not be able to attend.
Oh, that will be an intense disappointment to us all.
His health is no better.
Oh, then he mustn't contemplate coming, not on any account. So, a quiet wedding.
Belle? Yes, Lily? At what hour do people get married in London?
Any time before 12, I imagine.
Do you think she's Mrs. Crosby yet?
Lady Alexandrina Crosby.
Yes, of course, I forgot.
It's so cold today.
Jolly cold. Jolly cold. Do you remember, Belle, when he first came here, how you lectured me for talking slang?
Did I, my pet?
I called him a swell, and you took exception. You must remember. But he was a swell, you see. That was the mistake.
Oh, Lily, when I think of him...
No, Belle, you will not be angry, for I shan't permit it.
But I want to be angry.
He was very foolish to fall in love with me, and I was very foolish to let him. But I was so proud of having him, Belle. I allowed it to happen. Didn't give him the chance to reflect on it. So you shouldn't be angry with him. Once he found out his mistake, he did the only thing he honestly could do.
What? Become engaged again within a week?
There had been a very old friendship, Belle. You must bear that in mind. I'd so like to see her. I suppose she is a sort of Juno of a woman. Tall, handsome. What I should really like, you know, only, of course, it's not possible, is to be godmother to his first child.
Oh, Lily.
Lily, I brought you a shawl.
Thank you, Mama.
They will be very cold at the wedding, I fear.
Yes, and their hearts will be cold, too.
Why should that be? Oh, Mama, that is a terrible thing to say.
I'm sorry.
He was not cold-hearted at any rate. Not knowing oneself doesn't make one cold-hearted. Mama, I want you to wish for their happiness.
Oh, I think I do.
You must, Mama. You must. Valentine's Day. I wonder what kind of letter I might have got from him today. If... Well, he's got another Valentine now.
Lily, my darling child. My poor, ill-used child.
No. No, I won't be that.
And wilt thou, Alexandrina, Rosina, Beatrice, Letitia, Maria, Barrington, de Courcy, have this man to thy wedded husband?
I will.
With this ring I thee wed.
With this ring I thee wed.
With my body I thee worship.
With my body I thee worship.
And
with all my worldly goods I thee endow.
What is the time?
Almost 11:30, my dear.
It's over now, I'm sure. Over. What a word that is. Over. And all the world cannot put it back again. What if he should be unhappy after all?
He must take that chance.
Yes, Belle. I suppose we must all do that.
I hope you'll like Folkestone.
I hope I will. I would have preferred Naples.
Yes, but that, of course, was out of the question. We must save where we can.
Yes, well, we must save where necessary. I trust it won't be too cold in Folkestone.
Oh, we'll find a good fire in the hotel parlour, I'm sure. Well, my dear.
Careful, I don't want my bonnet wrecked.
Alexandrina.
Yes, Adolphus?
This is a very important step that you and I have taken today.
Yes, it is.
I pray that we shall succeed in making each other happy.
So do I.
That is, after all, our chief duty.
Yes. I just hope the house is warm, that's all.
I think I'll read the paper if you've no objection.
Not at all. I have a novel to finish.
I knew what was the better course. I chose the worse. Lily. Lily, my dearest. What a fearful mistake I made. And what a fearful punishment is now upon me.
You were having fun yesterday.
Oh, I always aim to do that. What exactly do you mean, Johnny?
Yesterday evening, with Amelia.
Oh, yes.
And the evening before that. You know why she's doing it, don't you? Flirting with you, I mean.
Is it possible that she likes me?
It's possible, Cradell, but chiefly, I think, I hope this won't upset you, chiefly she's playing a game. She thinks she'll make me jealous.
Oh, I see. Well, if that's her plan, it seems to be working.
Nonsense!
Sorry, old chap, you're acting that way. I don't understand it, Johnny. I thought you wanted to get rid of her.
She means nothing to me, you know that. But even so...
Yes?
Well, you wouldn't like it if I started getting friendly with Mrs. Lupex.
Lupex wouldn't, that's for certain.
You don't want to marry her, do you?
Mrs. Lupex?
And Amelia.
Don't think so.
Well, then, I'd keep well clear. She's making a fool of you.
Really? Much obliged for the advice, Johnny. Oh, this morning's post. Forgot to give it to you.
Thanks, Grinnell.
From your friend the Earl, I think. Judging from the crest and stuff on the envelope.
Yes. Guestwick Manor. My dear John.
I met Mr. Dale the other day, and he told me he'd be very glad if a certain young lady were to listen to what a certain young friend of mine had to say. So, I asked him what he intended to do about the young lady's fortune, and he said that if she married, he'd give her $100 a year while he lived, and settle $4,000 on her after his death.
Good heavens.
Inviting you down again, is he?
Don't know. I said I'd match that.
No, in fact, I'll make it $150 a year, just to help you get along.
$150?
You must understand that no one has breathed a word to the young lady about the whole business. But you'll find the squire on your side, and let's hope that Miss Lily is. What about coming down this Easter?
The Easter? No, impossible.
Come and stay at the manor, and then you can go a-wooing in the regular old-fashioned way. Lady Julia will be delighted to see you. You're a prime favourite with her since that affair at the railway station.
It's too generous of him. Far too generous. I feel I should say no. The squire's offer is different. That's Lily's fortune, and it isn't for me to accept it or otherwise. Although the squire is being extremely generous too, of course. I won't be able to say no to the Earl. Whatever I'd like to do, he gets so very cross if anyone refuses him. But anyway... there'll be no need to worry about rejecting money or receiving it if Lily rejects me. What use is all this kindness if Lily is not to be won over?
Lily, you promised.
Promised?
Not to work hard at the packing.
I made no such promise. I told Dr. Crofts I wouldn't be too energetic. But I had to do that because he was about to be cross with me. And I wanted him in a calm and receptive frame of mind. Mama, do these things up here belong to the house or us?
Well, the bowl is ours, at any rate. It was my mother's before I was married. I think it has some value.
Lily, why did you want Dr. Crofts to be in a receptive frame of mind?
Why, Belle dear?
Because I have something important to tell him.
What important thing was it you had to tell him?
I forget now.
Oh. Come in.
If you can.
Morning.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Dale.
The three of you are hard at work, I see.
Yes. Since it's got to be done, it's as well to get it over.
I tell you, it makes me thoroughly wretched. Sick at heart. But I didn't come here to talk about that.
Oh?
I brought you a note from Lady Julia De Guest.
Lady Julia?
Yes, and I've had one from the Earl.
Indeed?
They want us all to go over there, stay for a week after Easter.
A week? All of us? Read the letter, Mama.
Considering our near connection, we ought to have seen more of each other than we have. And, of course, the fault is mine.
Well, I don't know. We never thought to invite Lady Julia here.
But it is never too late to mend one's ways. And I hope that you and the girls, for both of whom I have much real regard, will show your forgiveness by coming here. I should tell you that we expect John Eames... We expect John Eames to be here for the same week.
Is there more, Mama?
Just a little more. My brother is very fond of him, and he thinks him the best young man of the day. And I must confess, he is one of my heroes, too. Very sincerely yours.
It is out of the question for us to accept. All of us, I mean.
Why is it out of the question?
Mama and Belle should go. I'll stay here and be very happy.
But that wouldn't do at all, Lily. Lady Julia particularly wants you to be one of the party.
No, Uncle, that's not possible.
Hopefully.
The whole family can't go, but it would be very nice for Belle.
No, it wouldn't.
You mustn't be ungenerous about it, Belle. Lady Julia means to be kind. Mary, tell the girls they ought to go.
Uncle, don't be angry with me. I can't go.
Are you sure you can't, my dear?
Yes. It's very kind, but I just can't. I'm not fit to go anywhere.
Perhaps you should try and get over that feeling. You should make a struggle.
I am making a struggle, and I shall succeed. But I know I can't go. Not there.
The Income Tax Office. Dear Lord De Guest, you asked me to write, and indeed I have some news to give you. I am to become Sir Raffle Buffle's private secretary. FitzHoward said he's leaving the post because he can't stand a man shouting any longer, but I hope I can learn to endure it for an extra 100 a year, as well as my own little room with carpet, washstand and leather armchair. This is something of a step up on the career ladder for me, and one which places me even more in your debt, my lord. For if you hadn't undertaken to write to Sir Raffle about the affair at the station, I don't suppose I would still be working here at all.
Johnny, I congratulate you.
Thank you, old fellow.
It is all agreed, I take it?
Oh, yes. The only problem was about my having leave at Easter. Private secretaries go on leave in the autumn, according to Sir Raffle.
So what did you tell him?
I said I'd happily be absent in the autumn as well.
Good Lord, you've got a nerve. Will he let you have Easter?
He will, once the Earl has written to him. Don't wait for me, Cradell. I'm not quite finished here.
Oh, that's all right. I don't mind waiting in the least.
Well, I was thinking of going on till 8 and then having a chop somewhere.
Oh, I see. So that's how it's to be.
What do you mean?
You're throwing me over, aren't you?
My dear chap.
Now you're a private secretary. Now you're getting on in the world. It's goodbye to Joseph Cradell.
What a goose you are.
I always stuck by you, Johnny. Through everything. Oh, and I suppose I mustn't call you Johnny, either.
You idiot.
If they made me private secretary, I'd have been the same to you as ever. I'd have walked to Mrs. Roper's with you just as before. I wouldn't have turned my back on you.
Oh, Cradell, I haven't turned my back on you. I'm not throwing you over.
You're not?
No. How I hate all this kind of talk.
It must be Amelia, then.
What?
Amelia's come between us. Look, Johnny, if I've caused you grief on her account...
Damn Amelia.
I mean, I'll promise never to speak to her again.
Damn her.
Oh.
Oh, come along. Let's go.
Dull evenings around a dull fire. That was the fate I envisaged for myself when I contemplated marriage to Lily Dale. Well, I have found that dullness. Found it in abundance. But not with Lily.
My sister was here this afternoon.
Oh, yes.
And with Lily, I do believe life
could never have been dull. Her love for me was more than enough to brighten the hours.
We're to dine with her and Mortimer on Sunday.
On Sunday? Why on earth Sunday?
Because Amy asked us to go on Sunday. If one is asked to go on Sunday, one cannot say one will go on Monday.
At what time?
She said 5:30.
Oh, well, if she said 5:30, I suppose we must go at 5:30. Heavens and earth, what are we to do all the evening?
It's not kind of you, Adolphus, to speak of my relations like this.
Oh, come, my love. It was a joke. You know I like Emily. Gazebee's a very good fellow, in his way. It's just that after 3 or 4 hours, one begins to have had enough of him.
Well, going round there can't be duller than staying here.
One can at least read at home.
I'm tired of reading. I'm tired of being at home. I'm tired during the week of being alone. And I'm tired of always being cold.
I'm sorry about that, my dear, but I'm sure things will improve.
How?
The weather will become milder. Perhaps you'll have a baby.
A baby? I don't regard that as an improvement.
A change, though, certainly.
I don't want a hard life, Adolphus.
I should think not.
I must be comfortable.
You must, Alexandrina. You shall.
And what kind of a life, pray, is mine? I never leave the house, save to go to the office or the Gazebees. Nobody asks me to the theatre. Nobody asks me to play a rubber. Nobody asks me to dine with them, save the Gazebees. All I have is my work. There's nothing else. No love between me and my wife. No sympathy between us.
Oh, my heart's own darling. My love. My lord.
Lily, my own.
I can't be happy without you, Adolphus. I must always know that you are mine.
Lily. Lily.
Well, my dear, I think I'll go to bed.
But it's not yet 10.
Is it not? I'll go anyway. You're right. It is cold.
Very cold. So cold, no fire can remove the chill.
The truth is, Mr. Dale, Lily just can't accept the invitation. She cannot stay with the Earl, not with John Eames being there too.
I understand. And yet the obstacles she anticipates are the very ones we had it in mind would be overcome, if only we could have them both at the manor. I ought to tell you that Lord De Guest has been taking John Eames under his wing. Wants him to marry Lily. Has promised to settle on him an income which will make him comfortable for life.
Oh, that's very generous.
And Mary, so that Lily won't be empty-handed, I'll settle £100 a year on her, if she'll accept him.
Oh, that's very generous, too. Very generous.
Mary, she'll never get a better man than John Eames.
Well, you may be right. But I fear it isn't possible. Not yet. I must go. Mr. Dale, I don't know what to say to you for your kindness.
Say nothing, either for my kindness or otherwise. But one thing you can do for me. Give up your plan, Mary. Stay at the small house.
Oh, no. No, we can't change the plan now. Oh, but I do fear we may have been too hasty.
Mama? Mama, you mustn't go in yet. At least, not into the drawing room.
Oh, why ever not?
He's in there with Belle, and they mustn't be disturbed.
Who is in there?
Dr. Crofts, of course.
Dr. Crofts?
Oh, he was ever so serious and solemn when he arrived. Told me I was not to go into the room with him. Oh, I wonder how he's managing. There's nothing to sit on but a lump of carpet.
Oh.
The floor's strewn with crockery. And when I left her, Belle was in your old checked apron rolling up the fire irons in brown paper.
Oh, Mama, are you not glad?
Oh, well, I shall be. We'll live alone together, you and I.
But Belle will be very close to
her. Oh, my dear, you must not be too hasty. You may be mistaken, you know.
I'm not mistaken.
Even so, there's many a slip.
Yes, Mama, that's true enough.
Oh, my dearest child, forgive me.
It doesn't matter, Mama. It doesn't hurt me. In fact, it does me good, provided it's you that's with me and no one else. But with God's help, there shall be no slip here, and she shall be happy.
Look, there is Belle and Dr. Croft. Now, say nothing, Lily. Good morning, Doctor.
Good morning, Mrs. Dale.
Mama, you must not call him Doctor anymore.
Oh, Belle. Not call him Doctor? Why? Has he been struck off?
Mama, you understand.
Of course he does.
Belle has consented to marry me, Mrs. Dale. If you will consent.
Oh, I consent. And most willingly.
Dear sister. Dear brother. Belle.
Might I have a word?
By all means. Sit down, won't you?
Look, Crosby, I don't want to find fault.
I hope you have no cause to.
No, I don't say that I have. Not as such. May I be blunt?
Be blunt, Butterwell.
It simply amounts to this. The members of the board feel that you are taking too much on yourself. Doing work, I mean, that isn't strictly yours to do. Oh, if it's a fault, it's a commendable one. I'm sure it arises from your desire to be efficient and to have everything seen to.
Quite. If I don't do it, who will?
Ah, but the board is very well able to get through all that appertains to it.
Patently not, Butterwell. If I am beholden to do more than my share of the labour, it is because others have done less than theirs.
No, that's not it at all. What has happened is that you have strayed beyond your remit, given directions in many cases for which you ought first to have received authority, either from me or from the board as a whole. You should not be surprised to learn that the board is not happy about this situation.
If you wish me to confine myself to the precise specification of my position, I will do so.
Jemima gave me a note. You want to see me?
Yes, Miss Roper.
Oh, Miss Roper, is it?
I've just been talking to your mother. I'm not coming back here.
Not coming back?
Well, I shall collect my things when I return from Guestwick, but I won't be staying at Burton Crescent.
And where will you be staying, John?
That I don't know yet.
You're intending to be married, aren't you? You're going to marry that girl. That fellow leavings.
Amelia.
You are, aren't you?
I don't wish to speak of her.
Oh, don't you indeed? Well, that put-off won't work with me, sir. I won't be treated in that way. I won't.
I'm aware that I haven't behaved quite as I should have done.
Oh, not quite. Not at all. Answer me this, John Eames. Have I had a promise from you? A distinct promise? Or have I not?
I don't know about distinct.
Oh, John. John. I did think you was a gentleman. Did think at the very least that you would never put a young lady to necessity of bringing forward written documents to prove that she is not expecting more than she has a right to.
I haven't behaved well. What more can I say?
What more? If you was a man, you'd know very well what more. I despise you, John Eames. I do indeed. I despise you.
Well, if that's the case, it's probably best if we wish each other farewell at once.
What?
One doesn't like to be despised, but sometimes one can't help it.
Oh, and is this to be the end of it all?
Yes, I suppose so. It cannot be, Amelia. I would ruin myself, ruin you too, and we'd never be happy.
I'd be happy, John. I know I would. Ever so happy.
Now, Johnny, we were hoping to have the Dales over here, Lily included. May I call her Lily?
I wish I had the power of permitting you.
Well, that's just the battle you've got to fight. Anyway, that plan's fallen through.
Which may be no bad thing.
Lady Julia says you'll have a better chance in going over there than you would here. Well, if it had been me, I'd have wanted her near to me as long as possible. But Lady Julia's invariably right in things of this sort. So, over to Allington with you. Get the mother on your side.
If she isn't already.
And then go to the girl and stand up to her boldly, eh?
Yes.
Well, by George, what is there to be afraid of?
It's true, I imagine that Lily was at one time fond of that fellow Crosby.
Blinded, poor thing.
But she can't be very fond of him now.
I'm not sure. I'm afraid that she can't bring herself to forget him.
Oh, of course she can. If she has a good enough reason for doing so.
I would have wished it otherwise, as you know. And Bernard, I'm sure, will be distressed by the news.
Yes. I'm sorry.
He's with his regiment at the moment, about to leave for India. May I write and tell him of Belle's engagement?
Of course.
Believe me, I have nothing against Dr. Cross, and if he is Belle's choice, then so be it.
Yes. So be it. Thank you, Mr. Dale, for taking it with such good grace.
As I say, I have nothing against the doctor. With regard to money, I shall do for Belle what I have proposed to do for Lily, if she marries. They shall each have £100 a year. You had better tell Dr. Crofts to have a word with me.
Oh, Mr. Dale, he doesn't expect it. He doesn't expect a penny.
So much the better for him and her.
Oh, you are very kind.
You said as much yesterday, and I asked for a small kindness in return.
Oh, Mr. Dale...
Stay at the small house. It was chiefly my attitude regarding Belle's marriage, was it not, that made you want to leave? My determination to be interfering. Well, that business is past now. Belle has chosen quite freely. And you can have no cause for complaint.
We've almost finished packing, Mr. Dale.
Perhaps. But things are unpacked easier than they're packed.
Yes.
Don't go, Mary. If you do, the house will stay empty, you know. I won't let it to strangers. Don't go, I beg you. I'm too old to start anew.
Stand up to her boldly. What is there to be afraid of? Nothing, of course. And everything. She can only say no, and then it is all in ruins. It won't matter what success I've had. My friendship with the Earl, promotion at work. It will be nothing if I can't share my good fortune with Lily. In fact, it won't seem like good fortune at all without her. Better not to have achieved success in that case. Better to be as I was, I think, before I ever went to London. A foolish young fellow who knew nothing about the world but who had his dreams. Who wrote poems in praise of her, which then were locked away. Who built castles in his mind. Fine, beautiful castles for his beloved to dwell in and be queen. I won't go into the village. I'll go up by the great house and through the garden. This is where I saw her last. Where I told her that I loved her. I had no right to do that. Not then, but I have a right to tell her now, at any rate. Oh, my boots are dirty. Perhaps I should have written. No. If when I see her, she gives me some hope, it would have been splendid, I'm sure, to have returned to the manor on horseback, like some triumphant field marshal. But if she gives me no reason for hope at all, I'd much rather walk back, run, roam the fields. Anyway, she won't mind my boots being dirty. She's not like other girls. Not like them at all. I can see someone in the drawing room. Is it her? I think it is. There's no hope, none at all. She never loved me. Why should she love me now? I'd go back now if I could, but I promised I'd ask her. For Lord De Guest's sake, if not for my own. I must go through with this thing. What is there to be afraid of?
Lily? John Eames has come.
Oh, Mama.
I'll let him in this way.
I want you to stay with us, Mama.
Oh, Lily, I don't know. Perhaps it would be better if I didn't.
Please stay. I shall be very glad to talk with John. I like him as well as I can like anyone. But don't leave us, Mama. It can't help things at all.
Morning, Mrs. Dale.
Oh, John, delighted to see you. I'm afraid the drawing room is in a state of terrible confusion, but come in anyway.
Thank you.
Lily is amongst the clutter, if one looks hard enough.
How do you do, John?
How do you do, Lily? So you really are going to live in Guestwick?
Well, it seems like it, I confess.
But in truth, we are thinking hard about changing our minds.
Though this is as yet a secret, John. Have you heard about Belle?
Yes, Dr. Cross told me. That, I take it, is not a secret.
Oh, no.
Is the wedding to be soon?
Well, yes, we believe so.
Such fun. James took a year or two to make his proposal, and having been accepted, wanted to be married the next day.
Where will they live?
in Guestwick.
Wouldn't it be a good thing if he settled himself in London?
No, John, it would be a very bad thing. Why should he wish to rob me of my daughter? Did you walk over?
I did, yes.
Oh, it was very good of you to come so far to see us.
Oh, I was always fond of walking, and it is a beautiful day for it. Perhaps, Lily, when I head back, you might go some part of the way with me.
Yes, why not, Lily? No, I'm rather tired. It would do you good, perhaps. But I'm not in the mood for having good done to me. Besides, I should have to return here by myself.
Will I accompany you?
Ah, yes. And then you and I should have to set off again, and we should never be finished. I don't wish to walk today.
I must speak to you, Lily. I have come over here for that purpose. I have come down from London for that purpose.
Lily, don't leave the room, Mama.
I love you, Lily. I loved you before Crosby ever... Before you set eyes on him, and now that he is gone, I love you more than I ever did. Dear Lily.
John. No. No.
Must that always be the answer?
I cannot marry you, John. Not while I love another. John, my dearest John, I was nearer to my heart's longings than you have ever been. But I know that there are other things, and I will not allow myself to be broken-hearted.
You are stronger than I am.
Not stronger, more certain. But as one becomes certain, one will find some strength. Is that not so, Mama?
Oh, my child, I do so wish... If you can give John any hope...
Mama, how can I give you hope, John, when I love him better than all the world?
But it may not be so forever.
Forever. And why should he not be mine as well as hers when that forever comes? If you understand what it is to love, you will speak no more of it. I should be disgraced in my own eyes if I admitted the love of another man. I should be disgraced, I say, because I almost feel as if I'm already married. John, my answer to you is no. Now and always.
I knew it would be so.
Yes. You knew it, dearest John, because your heart understands mine.
Believe me, John, if it could have been otherwise, you should have had all my best wishes in the matter. I would have loved you dearly as my son. And I will love you now.
Failed. Failed! And I should never have tried. Not so soon, at least, and not in that way. Hurting her as well as making an ass of myself. There was never any hope. I knew that. Knew it. Why then did I allow the Earl to encourage me? Allow him to hurry me along, call me the conquering hero, tell me faint heart and so on, stand up to her boldly. What a stupid man he is. I hate him for it. Almost hate him. But I take the bigger blame. I listened when I knew that I knew better. It was madness to attempt such a task in such a way and with such a crowd, it seemed, eagerly awaiting the outcome. I was a fool indeed to let them make such a fool of me. In truth, I've been a fool all my life.
John? May I come in?
She's refused me.
I'm very sorry, John.
She's refused me, and it's all over.
It needn't be.
Oh, believe me, Lady Julia, she is quite definite.
Well, but it still needn't be all over. This love you have is a love to keep, to hold. It will be a joy to you in future years, not a sorrow. To have loved truly, even though you may have loved in vain, will be a consolation when you're as old as I am. It is something, you know, to have a heart.
I wish I didn't.
Oh.
Oh, it has all been in vain. I shall never win.
Ah. Good morning, Alexandrina.
Good morning. You're late?
No, not late. But not, perhaps, as early as I used to be. I have decided that working extra hours at the office is simply a waste of time. To go beyond what is actually required of one, well, why bother? I never looked for approval. But on the other hand, I was not expecting resentment and jealousy. Anyway, how did you enjoy your evening?
Quite well.
How is your mother?
Not too well. There have been some words, I gather, between Mama and Papa.
Oh, dear.
She is going to Baden-Baden.
Baden-Baden? For how long?
For a reasonable time. And I am intending to go with her.
I see. For a reasonable time?
Possibly.
A month, for instance? Is that reasonable?
Oh, more than a month. I would decide for how long when I get there.
You wish to leave me, in other words?
In one sense, it would be leaving you, certainly.
Well, let me put it this way, dearest Alexandrina. When you talk of going to Baden-Baden for this indeterminate period, have you any idea of ever coming back again?
Back to London, you mean?
Back to me, back to this house, back to your duties as a wife. Alexandrina, do you wish to be separated from me?
I'm not happy here, Adolphus.
You're not happy? What do you mean? You're not happy being in this house?
Yes.
But it was you who chose it. I didn't want to come here.
The house is cold.
Oh, do you mean that if it were not cold, you would not be going to Baden-Baden? Or might you be leaving, even if the temperature were positively tropical? What kind of house is it, I wonder, that would confer upon you lasting happiness?
It's not simply the house. It's also being alone in it. 8 hours a day or more. Nobody comes to me, save Emily sometimes or Mama.
Well, that is hardly my fault. The fact is, you steadfastly refuse to reconcile yourself to living the kind of existence which accords with my income. You feel wretched because we haven't a carriage and you can't be driven around the park.
Are you willing that I go to Baden-Baden?
Would it stop you if I were not willing?
I must also advise you that I will require the money to pay my own expenses. I won't allow Mama to support me.
You won't? Ah. And I don't suppose she would allow it either. I'll see you this evening, Alexandrina.
Goodbye, Adolphus.
Unless, of course, you have already fled the country by then.
So, I am to become a bachelor again in all but name. Alexandrina and I will correspond occasionally, but that shall be all. And that shall be enough. Very hard to quarrel by post. I shall escape from this awful house. Find lodgings. Perhaps my old place in Mount Street is still vacant. I'll go there today and find out. I shall attempt to avoid Lady Emily and Gazebee as much as possible, and shall dine at the club virtually every day. Gather around me a modest circle of friends. Yes, it will seem just like old times. Almost.
So, my boy, I hear the young lady has been perverse.
Yes, my lord. That is, perhaps not perverse, but it's all over at any rate.
Oh, I wouldn't be too sure. Seems to me not half of them accept their lovers at the first time of asking.
I shan't ask her again.
Yes, you will, John. Again and again. You'll come down to Belle's wedding, and you'll ask her then. And if she refuses you, we'll see you at Christmas, or sooner. And you could try once more. A girl thinks nothing of a man till she's refused him half a dozen times and over.
My lord, Lily's not like that.
Of course she is. Don't tell me she's going to be an old maid because she's come across a false-hearted scoundrel and thinks she's still in love with him. She'll change. Of course she will, if it makes her happier. And listen, there's something else I want to tell you. A fellow should never allow himself to be cast down by anything. Not outwardly, at least.
How can he help it?
Pluck. Courage. You weren't afraid of the bull that day. You weren't afraid to thrash that scoundrel at the station. I sympathize with your grief, John. But I'll have no time for you if you mope.
Well, I'm very sorry.
So you're not? You're angry with me. Good. It's better being angry than moping.
Yes. Yes, you're right. I am sorry. I really am. And I'm very grateful to you, my lord, for all your kindness.
Welcome again to Burton Crescent.
Thank you, Cradell. You just popped in to pick up my stuff and say goodbye.
Yes, of course. But before you do either, Johnny, I have something to tell you.
Please.
I am aware, how could I not be, of all that has passed between you and Amelia.
Yes?
Well, you told me much of the story yourself. The rest has been supplied by Amelia. Such a fine, pure-minded, honest girl.
Cradell, old chap.
Well, the fact is, all that has to be discontinued now.
You're going to marry her.
Why, yes, I am. She has promised to be mine. Johnny, I hope you're not distressed.
No, Cradell. I don't think that I am. In fact, I congratulate you from the bottom of my heart.
Mr. Eames is here.
Oh, Mr. Eames!
Oh, yes. Oh. Thought I'd bid you all a fond farewell.
How very good of you.
Evening, Eames.
Evening, Lupex. Miss Bruce.
Good evening, sir. You've heard our news?
About Cradell and your daughter? Yes. She'll make him a fine wife, Mrs. Roper.
I think she will. And I'm very happy to find her settling down at last. I'll confess, Mr. Eames, it made me very unhappy, you know, when she was, how shall I put it?
Setting her cap at you, Mr. Eames, I believe that's the phrase.
But she is my own daughter. I couldn't go against her.
Well, you could have tried, Mrs. Roper, but it would have served no purpose. A very headstrong girl, that. Some might even call her wanton. I was young when I got married, but I admit I wasn't young at heart. Good luck to them, anyways, for they'll need it in great abundance.
And good luck to you, Mrs. Lupex. I wish you well.
Oh, thank you. Very kind. When I got married... No. I shall say no more, for otherwise I might be betrayed into an expression of personal emotion.
Which we can all do without, I reckon. Goodbye, then, Eames.
Goodbye, Lupex.
And if you want my advice, you'll beware of marrying too soon in life.
Goodbye, Mr. Bruce.
Goodbye, sir.
Do you have any advice for me, Miss Bruce?
Advice? Oh, I'm only an old woman, you know. Mr. Eames, it's been an honour and a pleasure to have you in the house. And if any of your young men at the office are wanting to be accommodated in a clean and respectable establishment...
Yes, of course.
Amelia will be married before too long, so I won't have to worry about, you know, all that. Well, I trust I won't.
Indeed. Where is Amelia, by the way?
No idea, old chap. She was here just before you came.
That it then, Gov?
Yes, I think so, thank you.
Great Western Hotel, you said?
That's right.
Right.
Johnny!
Wait a moment, please. Amelia.
I've come to say goodbye.
Yes. Well, goodbye.
I wish I'd never met you, Johnny Eames. Didn't think I'd ever care for a man like I cared for you. It's all foolery, isn't it? Some young ladies can sit in drawing rooms all their lives. But a woman like me has to make her way in the world. I've been a fool, Johnny. And all for nothing. I've been a fool. And you've been a knave. But it's over now. And I wish you goodbye.
Try to make him a good wife, Amelia. And then you'll be happy. May I kiss you?
It'll be the last between us.
I must go.
Goodbye, Johnny Eames.
Is Belle not here?
James called round. They've gone to Guestwick.
Well, I'll not wait with my news, for I don't think I can. I have seen your uncle and have promised solemnly to give up all idea of our moving from here.
Mama! So we may unpack at once.
Yes, my dear.
Oh, what geese everyone will think we are. And what Uncle makes of us, I daren't think.
Oh, Uncle is very fond of us.
I know it now as I've never known it before. Perhaps it is that his love for us has grown much stronger for various causes. Or perhaps that love was always as I encountered it this morning. But in times past he found it hard to show it, his heart being kinder than his words. Indeed, he was finding it hard today, until the tears came. His and mine.
Mama.
And then he spoke at some length, dwelling particularly on his great fondness for you and Belle. Told me also that he is to give Belle a very large sum of money.
What is very large, Mama?
£3,000?
Oh, yes, that is a very large sum.
And you are to receive 3,000 as well.
Me? You mean if I marry?
No, no, my dear. The money is yours at this moment to buy hairpins with, if you wish. Uncle thinks it right to do the same by each of you.
Oh, Mama! You know, the last time he gave me money, it was half a crown. £3,000! How I am to thank him, I cannot think. This sort of thing is beyond my line of life. A nice new £5 note would have been better. I'd have known how to thank him for that.
Well, my dearest, however you may express your gratitude to him, you are a young woman of some substance now.
I am myself. Money alters nothing. It can bring no change in me, nothing of significance. So I trust Uncle won't be disappointed if he sees the same Lily Dale tomorrow.
Lily, now I know what your feelings are about the love you still cherish. But do you think, in time, that you might bring yourself to receive John Eames as a dear friend?
He is already a dear friend.
No, a friend, I mean, who might become your husband.
Mama.
If you could, my child, I'm certain I should see you happy once more. And I should be so very happy too, the happiest woman in the world.
No, Mama, I would cause you misery beyond measure. Because you would soon recognize that it was wrong and could only cause more misery for me. There is no point, you see, in trying to forget him. My love for Adolphus is the one thing which will never be forgotten. It refuses to have itself buried and put out of sight. Like you, Mama, I am widowed. And so it should be. What can a heart be worth if its affections can be transferred hither and thither to suit circumstances and convenience? So we are two widows in the same small house. But you have your daughter, and I have my mother. And if you can be contented with that, so can I.
Lily.
Well, Mama.
Oh, Lily, my child. It shall be as you will.
Dearest Adolphus, you have changed, but I have not. When I fell in love with you, I regarded you as my husband, and I still do. My husband, my lord, my heart's own darling, always and forever. Wherever you go, my thoughts shall be like Ruth, and shall never cease from following you. Like Ruth, I declare that where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy God shall be my God. Where thou diest, there will I die. And there, my love, will I be buried.
That was The Small House at Allington by Anthony Trollope, dramatised for radio by Martin Wade, directed by Cherry Cookson.